I'm Doug Brown. It's a record salary to avoid arbitration. Red Sox outfielder Mookie Betts gets a one-year deal worth $27 million, according to ESPN's Jeff Passan. Betts can still become a free agent after the 2020 season, as can Boston outfielder Jackie Bradley Jr., who gets a one-year deal for $11 million. Passan also reports the Cubs will sign third baseman Chris Bryant, a one-year deal worth almost $19 million. In the NFL playoffs on Sunday, the Chiefs host the Texans in Kansas City, and ESPN's Dan Orlovsky thinks they might not be gracious hosts.
I expect the Chiefs to blow their doors off. Patrick Mahomes is the best player on the planet, one healthy. And Patrick Mahomes, because of that Week 17 win, had the bye, and he's healthy. The ankle, not an issue. The knee's not an issue. The hand is not an issue.
Dan Orlovsky on Get Up. Clippers guard Paul George out for tonight's game against the Warriors with a strained left hamstring. Bulls center Wendell Carter Jr. out 4 to 6 weeks with a severe right ankle sprain. He left the court in a wheelchair Monday night against the Mavericks.
Vivid Seats, the top ticket source for the live events you crave, now has a loyalty program that allows fans to earn credit back. Go to the App Store or Google Play, download the Vivid Seats app, and enter promo code ESPN25 for 10% off your next order.
The 3 o'clock hour is brought to you by Trane Heating and Air Conditioning.
Passing Nalissa Smith, trying to drive down inside off the glass. Beautiful. Uses a square. Nice basket by Nalissa Smith. Right-handed push jumper going down the right blocks, and she used the top right corner of the square to get the basket. Boy, Nalissa Smith stepping up in the fourth quarter. Cox has it, tries a three-pointer, and swirls it in. Now Urson with a three-pointer. Yes, she hits that one. Aya Cooper thought about a shot, moving way out there. Now Cooper thinks about it again when she gets it back and nails a three. Yes, ma'am. Lady Bear is heating up from beyond the arc, and now Baylor on top 28-25.
We're not at the same level they are. We don't have enough. Like that first half, they made a bunch of threes. That's not normally what they do.
Live from the Petty Clinic Low T Studio, this is You Make the Call on ESPN Central Texas. Here's David Smoke.
Paul Catalina has the day off, and so I'm flying solo. My co-pilot is Garrett Ross. He's in studio with me running the mothership here at 5501 Bagby. You heard highlights and then a snippet from UConn head coach Gino Auriemma following the Baylor win by 16 at UConn. I said all day long yesterday, I thought they were going to go into to play at UConn on the road in Hartford. And I thought they would get beat up, and I just wasn't thinking that Lauren Cox was not quite all of her. But Lauren Cox at 60% is better than most people at 80 or especially 100%. So Baylor now, since 2012, 4-2 against UConn. They have now broken UConn's 98-game winning streak at home, and they last year in Waco broke UConn's 126-game winning streak during the regular season. And it was dominant. There was a stretch where it looked like UConn was starting to fire back because of hitting the perimeter shots. And then Baylor just blew their doors off in the fourth quarter. Blew them off. What a win. What a huge win. It's not a statement win. It's not any... You listen to the post game, whether it's Kim Mulkey or Gino Auriemma. In fact, we have a little short. We're going to have Kim Mulkey, a lot of what she said today in a minute. Michelle Vopel, who's a national writer for women's basketball at 315, and then also Jeff Goodman, a national writer for men's basketball. He'll join us on Baylor and Kansas, and Baylor number 4 after the win Tuesday night against Texas Tech, plus so much more to get to. In fact, Nalissa Smith will join us at either 4:15 or around 5 today, depending on practice, who took over the game for Baylor in the fourth quarter. Here is like 30 seconds. This is Gino Auriemma following Baylor's dominant win in Hartford.
We're not the same level they are. We don't have enough. Like that first half, they made a bunch of threes. That's not normally what they do. So if they're going to do that and play the way they play inside, that'd be hard to beat them. But in the second half, they made maybe two threes. That was it.
You could hear the exasperation in Gino Auriemma's voice. They don't lose much. And Baylor's beaten them 4 of the last 6 times, including last year and this year, to snap very lengthy and nationally, like, highest level winning streaks. UConn had a 99-game home winning streak that was ended back in, what, 2012 or 13. Baylor just snapped it at 98 as they were trying to do it again. And then last year, the 126-game regular season winning streak when Baylor won the game in Waco. It was just impressive. I really did not think they would win last night, and no big deal. I don't care whether I was right or wrong. The bottom line is I just felt like, based on what Oklahoma, a couple other things, and obviously they stepped up. Championship elite players stepped up in the moment.
I feel like they've been disrespected all year long. When you look at the ranking, how far they fell after South Carolina beat them, and they went up there with a mission, and they knew that if they played a game like they did, that it would set the record straight that we are here. You know, we haven't fallen off. There's, you know what to expect when you get us. And I mean, they did it. They put everything together at the right time.
Thea Cooper was amazing. Obviously, DeeDee Richards doing all the things that she does on the perimeter with her defense and key rebounds. And then what you have inside, Lauren Cox and Alyssa Smith, a little bit of Queen Egbo. Moon Urson had her little, you know, came in with an adrenaline rush and played a little bit of this. And then Juicy Landrum. But Taya Cooper had another. Taya Cooper had a big game for Baylor. They win by 16 at UConn. By 16. In fact, I don't know if you heard this, but Gino Auriemma in the post game also basically called his team out. And I've seen him do that. He goes, you know, how dumb are we? We're down 16 with a minute to go, and we're fouling them. Like, what are we going to like do? Have a 16-point play? And Baylor wins the game by 16. A very impressive. Hey, just to remind everybody, yes, we lost to South Carolina on a neutral court, who's very good. In fact, South Carolina plays UConn. UConn still has Oregon, Tennessee, and South Carolina remaining on their schedule as non-conference games intermixed inside their conference play. Baylor Sunday women will be at home 1 o'clock against Oklahoma State. So, a very impressive. Do you have the audio post-game with Kim Mulkey and the players? Do you have that available? Let me know when you have that available. Hey, also, the NFL gets into the conference, basically semifinals. We'll look into that a little bit today. Mike McCarthy, day 2 or 3, head coach of the Cowboys. We'll have Mike Fisher today at 4. Yes, the Baylor coaching search continues, and a lot of you like, hey, what's going on? I got to be honest with you. I'm making, on occasion, you know, I'm doing some of my due diligence, but Mac Rhodes, this is stealth-like. This is what he did before, and he's going to do it again, and almost trying to find out information is almost like beating your head against the wall. And so that, of course, is out there. I would be surprised if by this time next week Baylor does not have a new head football coach, but I don't know who it is. Obviously, there's a lot of support for Joey McGuire. I saw a conversation Matt Rhule had when he was at Carolina about his coaching staff. There's no question in my mind that Phil Snow will end up at Carolina. As Matt Rhule even mentioned, he's never won a game without Phil Snow as his defensive coordinator. I do believe that there's others like Saravo and that Jeremy Scott. Those names make sense. But he also said, out of respect for Baylor's coaching search, until that's done, he's not going to really – that doesn't mean he hasn't been in contact with anybody. But until that's done, he's not going to see if certain members of that coaching staff will come to Carolina, even though we kind of have an idea there will be 3 or 4 before it's all said and done. I tell you what, we're going to wait on that post-game. Now, go ahead. This is the early part of it. We won't play the whole thing. Michelle Volpe will join us from ESPNW in just a second. Here is part of the initial post-game. This is the media. This is not the interview with Holly Rowe. This is not the interview with Learfield IMG with Bruce Keetson at the end of the game or Maggie. This is in the post-game media session after their win against UConn.
Fourth quarter, I mean, the defense you guys played, I think they scored the first 2 points, then you guys scored the next 15. Just talk about that fourth quarter, the difference you guys had by stopping them defensively, I think, to get the win you had.
I hope we played good defense the entire game. We went on a run, and they missed some shots. Honestly, we didn't do anything any different in the fourth quarter than we did in the first 3 quarters. I don't know if fatigue set in for them or our defense was that good in the fourth quarter. We're going to guard your man. I don't think there's any secret to that. are about that. That help?
It does.
I'd like to tell you I made a genius decision in the fourth quarter, and we did all go ball, go play.
Carl, and did you feel comfortable because your teammates hadn't played here before? You played here last year. Did that help you feel more comfortable coming here and being a calming influence for your teammates?
I think every game I feel pretty comfortable being with the way we prepare for our team. So thanks to coach and staff, I think we all feel pretty comfortable.
Teo, you shot 11 threes. The team as a whole shot 21. You guys usually aren't, you're more of an inside team.
We're old school. Isn't that how we describe?
Old school.
Did you think that was old school? I tend to think it's timeless. That would be a better word. I had Kalani Brown at 6'7", Lauren Cox at 6'5". I'm not a genius, but I don't think I'm going to have them out there shooting threes. But we got a team that's different, so I'll help you. We will shoot the three ball if necessary. But go ahead. Had to get that in there. Old school. I'm from the old school. Y'all know that song?
Sing it some more.
Country music fans in here, raise your hand. Go look it up. John Conley, I'm from the old school. Thought you were too. All right, I'm cutting up. We got to get on a plane. Go ahead.
I was just wondering if that was part of the game plan, something you looked to exploit, or if that was just when you were in the game, that was the opportunity that presented itself, and once you got going, you just kept going with that.
Me or her?
I guess you and the coach
wanted to. She, with the game plan, she wanted me and Juicy to shoot threes. We was open, so we shot them.
Mike right here.
Coach, given that it's January 9th, do you draw, is it hard to draw too many conclusions from what you saw?
Yes. I haven't changed my mind. Win or lose, we knew it would be a good game. It would be watched nationally, but I would say the same thing I would if we'd lost the game. This is not indicative of what lies ahead. We get on a plane and fly 4 hours, and we've got a very important game Sunday at home against Oklahoma State. We're trying to win our 10th consecutive Big 12 title. We're trying to get a good seed in the NCAA tournament. I don't think there is one team that's just head and shoulders above anybody. I think there's about six teams that have the ability and the talent and the coaching to win it all this year. Now, don't ask me who those six are, but I do. I think watching some of them, I think there's about six that can do it.
All right, that's Kim Mulkey and the Purple Players after the win against UConn. Coming up next, Michelle Vopel from ESPN women's basketball writer. Jeff Goodman covers men's basketball. Baylor play at Kansas tomorrow. In fact, we'll hear from Scott Drew right before they left for Lawrence. It's going to be a busy couple of hours. Here we go. This is ESPN Central Texas.
At Community Bank and Trust, we continue to add new and improved features to our mobile and digital banking systems. Our new person-to-person payment system allows our customers to instantly send money to friends and family, no matter where they bank. Customers using our debit card just log in online, input the friend's cell phone number or email address, and the money will be sent P2P to them. With Community Bank and Trust, enjoy state-of-the-art banking anywhere, anytime, on any device. Member FDIC.
Okay, so what's the most important part about your house? Nope, it's not that bar or the theater room with that sound system. Think about it. The most important thing is your roof. It has to withstand all that Mother Nature can throw your way, so it makes sense to have the best. McAdams & Sons Roofing is your first choice when it comes to protecting that valuable asset. Experienced professionals using only the best materials. So for new construction, re-roofs, repairs, or remodels, for composition and metal roofs, think McAdams & Sons Roofing first. And now McAdams & Sons Roofing is installing seamless gutters to give your home a bright new look and added value. McAdams & Sons Roofing will come out and take a look at your roof and handle all the insurance process for you. Don't let any fly-by-night company look at your roof. Let a real professional you trust do the work. Put McAdams & Sons over 40 years experience to work for you. Check it out at McAdamsRoofing.com. That's McAdamsRoofing.com. Or give them a call today at 254-799-2949. Because you don't want a kid with your house's lid.
It's Matt Mosley Show, brought to you by Jim Turner Chevrolet of McGregor, the official Chevy dealer of Baylor Athletics, your Central Texas Chevy truck headquarters. Business online at turnerchevy.com. For the best deal on your new Chevrolet, stop by and see the all-new 2019 Silverado 1500 today.
Hey, everyone. It's Jason Miller with Syntex Rehab in Belton and in Harker Heights. I want you to think about that one thing that pain is keeping you from doing. It could be in your back, your neck, or your knees. But what is it keeping you from doing? Is it getting up and down from the floor with your kids? Is it playing your favorite sport or even working out? It could be something as simple as driving your car comfortably or getting a good night's sleep. I know from personal experience that pain can keep you from doing a lot of the things that you love to do. So I'd like to make an offer to you. Simply visit my website at syntexrehab.com, and there for you, for free, are packets of information on how to relieve back pain, neck and shoulder pain, and knee pain. That's syntexrehab.com, or you can call our clinic at 254-630-1186, and we'd be happy to mail it to you. Again, go to syntexrehab.com and download the free packets. Feel free to chat with our patient care specialist directly online. You can get back to a life with less pain.
Learn strategies for building wealth and financial success in retirement. Plan well, retire well, live well. Tune in Saturdays at 8 a.m. for the Lovett Financial Show, or visit Lovett Financial for a complimentary financial review.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm your boy Q with your ESPN Central Texas Sports Center update. Brought to you by Glauf Ford Chevrolet Buick GMC in Clifton, where they say cars are like eggs, they're cheaper in the country. Earlier this morning on the John Morris Show, Brian Haney, the voice of the Kansas Jayhawks, talked to J-Mo about Saturday's matchup, number 3 Kansas versus number 4 Baylor, and specifically what kinks still need to be worked out on this Jayhawks team.
Well, we've had turnover issues at times. At times we've been a really poor free throw and 3-point shooting team. It's been a little bit Dr. Jekyll, Mr. High. But if the threes are falling early and Udoka continues to hit from the free throw line, Jayhawks are going to win a lot of games this year. But those are the kryptonites, even on a number 3 ranked Kansas team. We'll see how Baylor goes about exploiting that.
Baylor versus Kansas tips off Saturday at noon on ESPN Central Texas. Tonight in the NBA, the Spurs will be in Memphis taking on the Grizzlies at 7, and the Mavs, they'll host the Lakers at 8:45.
Sports Center every 20 minutes, only on ESPN Central Texas. A championship decision in business is partnering with Sean Hunt and UBO Business Services. With their 94% first-time fix rate, they leave their copier service competitors in the dust. Call Sean today at 772-1600, UBO Business Services.
All right, here we go. Back-to-back national riders. First, we'll have Michelle Vopel on women's basketball, Baylor's win against UConn, and then Jeff Goodman on Baylor at number 4 in the country and also playing in Lawrence at Allen Fieldhouse tomorrow. Michelle Vopel, national writer for not just women's basketball, but many women's sports, also the WNBA, joins me. I'm David Smoke on ESPN Central Texas. Michelle, is Taya Cooper even more of an impact transfer than Chloe Jackson was?
I don't know that we can say that right now because Chloe Jackson won a national championship and was, the Final Four's most outstanding player. But what I will say is I think from if you want to look at what her long-term projection is as a player, including, going to the next level, you could say she probably has some skills that Chloe doesn't. She is can be a very, very good three-point shooter. And she just sort of has a big game knack. Now, we did see that from Chloe at times last year, but
sure.
We still have to give props to Chloe last year because that still was a pretty magical thing she did. And the other thing, David, as you know, if Chloe hadn't have done that, we wouldn't be seeing Taya now. What convinced Kim that Coach Kim Mulkey that this could work.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great point as well. And it's hard to say that about that she would be have more. Chloe hit the two shots that won the Final Four. So and such a classy girl as well. Now, Nalissa Smith, when Lauren Cox went down against Notre Dame in the championship game, there was one of the first offensive possessions after that. Nalissa Smith hit like a 15-18 footer and obviously played well enough down the stretch to help them hold off Notre Dame. How impressed were you? She took over. She's going to join us in about an hour. She took over the fourth quarter with all the other talent that was on that floor.
Yeah, she is, I think, I mean, she's a fantastic player. And last night in Hartford, I was, you know, sitting in front of there were several WNBA coaches and even some players that were there that were watching. And I know they were thinking, even though she's only a sophomore, they're thinking, wow, this kid is really going to be a great pro. I just felt like last night it was such a stark contrast when you look at you know, how well Baylor's forwards played last night versus UConn's. I mean, it was stark isn't even a big enough word. And I also thought with Nelissa, she has a sense of the moment. And we, like you said, we saw that last year. You could say some of the shots she hit last year against Notre Dame were as big as anything because they needed, you know, they needed her to do that in the most pressure-packed moments.
No, there's no question about it. I know that Lauren Cox is not right yet, but it seemed like she knew last night the importance of that game. And I thought she moved around a lot better than I had heard. I have not really seen them play much. You know, they've been gone for a long time and on a break a long time. I thought, considering she'd missed a long time, that she looks like she can still take over a game, especially with what she can do on the defensive end of the floor.
That's absolutely it, David. I felt like at the very beginning, and she said this. She said, you know, the first 5 minutes, it was about, okay, I gotta get my wind here. You know, I gotta start feeling more like myself. And obviously, she'd played quite a lot in the Oklahoma game, and that, you know, was sort of a throwing her back in the water, if you will. I know she'd played one game before that, but it was just a different pace, obviously a different setting last night, so it took a little while. But by the end of that game, you were just seeing how many ways she impacts the game, and it's the confidence that she, you know, instills in everybody around her. It's the way that she doesn't just block shots. She alter shots, and she I feel like she takes the wind out of other teams, you know, when they're trying to score against her. So I felt that she, again, as that game went on, she looked more and more comfortable.
Yeah, me too. Is it good for women's basketball that no one really knows who the number one team is? We saw men's basketball, and about to have Jeff Goodman on in a minute, they went through a stretch where like every week some number one team was getting knocked off. Is it good for women's basketball that there's just not this one absolutely dominant team and there might be five, six, or seven this year that have a chance?
You know, I've always thought that would be the best thing for women's basketball because realistically that's usually the way it is with men's basketball, right? You know, it's five or six that you know are going to, you know, are among the best. Any of them could win the national championship. It doesn't mean they will, but they're probably the favorites. I think the phrase I always say is it's better to have an oligarchy than a monarchy. You know,
yeah,
you have the oligarchy,
yeah.
You have this group of teams that everybody kind of wants to see and also kind of wants to see get knocked off. And Baylor's in that group, right? A really good team. And I do think that's more fun than just one team being good. But it's good to have a group that are pretty good because that brings a lot of excitement for, you know, whenever they're playing.
Oregon was one and Baylor two to start the year. Baylor loses to South Carolina. We know they're very, very good. And then Baylor fell pretty far. I mean, I guess it also had to do with other teams that were playing well. Do you feel like with what happened last night, do they get a jump? I don't know where they'll be ranked, but do they get a jump up into the top maybe two or three?
Yeah, I think they do, and it's so interesting you say that because I vote in the poll, and when I voted, I think I had Baylor at six after the loss, and I was like, oh man, I'm screwing this up. You know, they're too far. Like I shouldn't do this. They I know they're not six. I know they're higher, but it was sort of like you said, there was just this confluence of other results. And everything kind of came together, and I thought, well, okay, they're going to go to six now. They don't have Lauren. Lauren's going to come back. I thought they would beat UConn. Yeah, my predictions aren't great, but I really did think they would win. And I thought, this is going to even itself out. You know, they're going to jump back up. So I do think that's going to be the case. You know, and it's going to be interesting because we're going to come up on, you know, a lot of the Pac-12 results are going to impact this too because there's mm-hmm. so many good teams there. They're going to have to play each other, and then we're going to have to, you know, doing the rankings and bracketology, you know, that's going to affect everything. But as you probably saw, I mean, Baylor and Charlie Cream's bracketology has moved up to the number one seed, and you know, I think they're going to stay there.
Who is more interesting, in your opinion? You've heard from both of them many, many times, so have I. Who's more entertaining in the post game, Gino Auriemma or Kim Mulkey?
Oh, my goodness. Let me say this. There's no more entertaining than when it's the two of them together.
Yeah.
Like, there just isn't another combo. And they're both, as you know, they say what they think. And so they're different. There's just not very many coaches out there who just come in and say, hey, you know, this is what I think. This is how it was. And as a, I think as a observer, at least you always know what they're thinking. You know, they're going to tell you exactly what they think. And I find that entertaining. I think as a player, you also know where you stand with them.
What's going on with Notre Dame this year?
You know, they got caught in that cycle of they had five starters that they ended up losing. One of them was a junior, and because she turned 22 in the year of the draft, she could leave early.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the rules, and that's Jackie Young. So they lost all five starters, and that's pretty hard, you know, when that happens to any team. But they'd also had a couple of transfers and a couple of injuries, and it just everything kind of came together at once. It's almost like it was just sort of, you know, I hate that analogy, perfect storm. It's probably been overused, but I have to say it. In this case, it sort of is. And I think that almost puts what Baylor and UConn have done even in a better perspective, because when's the last time Baylor had a bad year? I mean, Kim's lost plenty of great players. But it just hasn't ever turned into a bad year. So, and I'm not criticizing Notre Dame. I think they have had a lot of bad things happen to them. But, you know, wow, it makes those two programs we saw last night, you know, stand out even more, because no matter who they lose, mm-hmm. they come back the next year and they're still good.
Michelle Vopel with us, ESPN, national writer for ESPN for women's basketball, among other things as well. I asked you about Notre Dame. You look at Texas, and, of course, that's one of the teams that Baylor will be competing against for a Big 12 title. They've already won at Oklahoma State, Baylor on Sunday in Waco. They're 9-5, and yet they have wins against Stanford and Tennessee. How did that happen?
The two teams this year in women's basketball that nobody has any idea what they're going to get when they come out are Texas and Maryland. I mean, those two teams have been just kind of a roller coaster. They're capable of playing with pretty much anybody if they play well, and they're also capable of just, you know, going belly up and losing. And I think a lot of that, it seems to me like that's sort of a confidence factor with these teams. These teams just don't 100% believe in themselves, and that's going to be a big key, you know, especially for Texas. You know, are they going to be able to believe they're the team that beat Stanford? Or are they a team that could lose at home, you know, to TCU? Nothing against TCU, but they shouldn't have lost that game. So I think that's going to be a big key. And it's, again, that's something I don't know how else to say it. You do not see that with Baylor. That is not a team that doesn't believe in itself. They believe in themselves. When they lose games, it's usually because they get beat or they don't play particularly well. Texas just doesn't have that belief in themselves, and I think that's been a problem for the last, you know, several years.
One more thing. I saw where A&M lost, and, of course, they've had a pretty good run, too, and Gary Blair and his history. But they lost to LSU, and that was a big surprise. Is Kennedy Carter okay? Did she get hurt last night?
She turned her ankle, and that's a team that is so reliant on one player. It's very hard for them when she's not in there. She just has, she has the ball in her hands so much. So, I think that's something we'll have to watch. I don't think it's like an injury that's going to keep her out for a really long time. But, you know, then they're going to have to step forward in a really tough conference without their best player.
Thank you very much, Michelle. Always great to talk to you. Thank you.
Thank you, David.
That's Michelle Vopel, ESPN.com national writer for women's basketball. Jeff Goodman, national writer for men's basketball. We'll hear from Scott Drew a little bit later on. Baylor at Kansas tonight, tomorrow. Hear that game right here on ESPN Central Texas. Jeff Goodman, national writer, is next on ESPN Central Texas.
In Waco, Texas, we love the holiday season. At home, at work, or out with family and friends. To our entire community, from all of us at Jeff Hunter Toyota, we wish you happiness and good cheer. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. Jeff Hunter Toyota. Toyota quality. Waco values.
This is Susan Kelly, and I want to congratulate Baylor's football team for its amazing performance this season. Since attending Baylor and later its law school, I've been dedicated to this community as a citizen and as a lawyer. If elected to the 19th District Court, I will continue this dedication, serving with honor and integrity. Early voting starts February 18th, and I ask for your vote. Happy New Year and justice for all.
This ad paid for by the Susan Kelly for District Judge campaign, Nancy Lacey, Treasurer.
Congratulations to the Green and Gold for a great 2019 football season. InCommons Bank enjoys being part of the community here in Waco, and we are excited to see what the 2020 football season will bring on the Brazos. Our mission at InCommons Bank is to be the best community bank in Central Texas, and we are doing just that. Our locations include Mejia, Fairfield, Coolidge, Mart, Rosebud, and Waco. Stop by any of our branches or visit us online at InCommonsBank.com to find out more about us. Come see me, Regina, and go Green and Gold.
Member FDIC.
Life never stops moving. Between the 30-minute commutes, daycare pickups, and that weekend trip to Grandma's, you're racking up the miles. What you need is a tire that can keep up, like the exceptionally long-lasting Michelin Defender tire. With an 80,000-mile warranty and the safety you expect, you can lose track of the miles and focus on what really matters, the memories made along the way. Stop in today. City Tire and Battery will help get you back on the road quickly in your time of need. 1502 South Valley Mills Drive, Waco.
Southwest Sports Medicine and Orthopedics, the team physicians of Baylor Athletics. Our doctors specialize in the diagnosis and treatment of any and all sports-related injuries. Celebrating over a decade of service to Central Texas, our doctors are equipped to handle a wide range of issues, whether it's your foot or ankle, your hand or wrist, knee and shoulder pain, or you're in need of our arthritis and total joint clinic. Trust the doctors that Baylor trusts. Southwest Sports Medicine and Orthopedics. Our goal is to get you back in the game.
Have you been tagged yet again in an engagement ring photo? Are hints being dropped all around you? Rest assured, D'Amore Fine Jewelers has been rescuing men seeking the perfect ring for over 25 years. Come in with a picture of her dream ring and we'll make it a reality. With our 5-year financing, custom design team, and selection of diamonds, we'll make the whole process fun and enjoyable. D'Amore Fine Jewelers on West Waco Drive.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm your boy Q with your ESPN Central Texas Sports Center update. Brought to you by Glock Ford Chevrolet Buick GMC in Clifton, where they say cars are like eggs. They're cheaper in the country. Earlier this morning on the John Morris Show, Brian Haney, the voice of the Kansas Jayhawks, talked to J-Mo about Saturday's matchup, number 3 Kansas versus number 4 Baylor, and specifically what kinks still need to be worked out on this Jayhawks team.
Well, we've had turnover issues at times. At times we've been a really poor free throw and 3-point shooting team. It's been a little bit Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde. But if the threes are falling early and Udoka continues to hit from the free throw line, Jayhawks are going to win a lot of games this year. But those are the kryptonites, even on a number 3 ranked Kansas team. We'll see how Baylor goes about exploiting that.
Baylor versus Kansas tips off Saturday at noon on ESPN Central Texas. Tonight in the NBA, the Spurs will be in Memphis taking on the Grizzlies at 7, and the Mavs, they'll host the Lakers at 8:45.
Sports Center every 20 minutes, only on ESPN Central Texas.
All right, here we go. Mike Fisher will join us on the Cowboys at 4. Also, a little bit later on, Baylor head football coach, they don't have one right now, head basketball coach Scott Drew will join us as well. But right now, joined by one of the elite writers in the country when it comes to men's basketball, Jeff Goodman joins me on ESPN Central Texas. Jeff, thanks for the time. I noticed that on like a pinned tweet from just a few hours ago, you have an actual podcast with Scott Drew. Did you speak with him earlier this week?
Yeah, last night. Last night, I actually spoke to him and figured it was good timing to have Scott make his debut on the podcast. And he was great because, you know, the best thing for a good pod is it's conversational, and that's what Scott's all about. You know, he kind of goes back and. You know, the biggest thing was he's trying to recruit my daughter, who's a sophomore in high school, to, you know, at least take a visit to Baylor and eventually go to school in Waco. He's a trip because he's a different dude in this business.
Jeff, you know that there was so much said about him and a lot of people that just felt like maybe he was fake. Do you feel like, and a lot of times there was also the coach, he could recruit, whatever. Now he's winning without any national recruits at all. Do you think now that he's winning no matter who he has, and he's won for long enough that people have finally realized this guy's for real?
I thought he was fake, too, when I first met him. I'm like, how is somebody this happy all the time? It's got to be fraudulent, but it's not. I mean, it's not. He's always the same way, and I think everybody in the industry kind of realizes that. And, yes, while he was winning with the, you know, the Perry Joneses and the Isaiah Austins and Quincy Millers, top 10 recruits, now – The stat was, and I read it to him last night on the podcast, he hasn't had a top 50 player since Isaiah Austin. And Calipari, I think, in Kentucky has had, I believe it was like 37 top 50 players in that span. it's an amazing accomplishment at a place that everybody knows is extremely difficult to win. But to be able to sustain it the way he has done at Baylor, nothing short of remarkable.
When they won in Lubbock against Chris Beard, and Chris lost some players, and they're still very, very good. But didn't they win in Lubbock the way that Texas Tech wins games as well?
Well, yeah, they did it with toughness, and you have to. I mean, if you're not winning in Lubbock or really anywhere without matching, you know, against Texas Tech without matching their toughness. And, you know, I really like Scott's guards. I really do. I think, you know, they're athletic. They're big. They're versatile. They haven't scored as well. When I saw them play in Myrtle Beach against Villanova, they were clicking on all cylinders. They were making shots from deep. They were driving. They were defending. They were doing everything. They haven't been as good offensively. But I think he's got a team. I'm with right now. I just left Lavelle Jordan, the head coach at Butler. They're playing Providence tonight, 9 o'clock game. I'm going to be there. And Lavelle, one of the interesting things he said about Baylor was he felt they were the most connected team that Butler has played against all year. And Butler is a top 10 team right now. I don't know if they're going to beat Providence or not, but that was a heck of a win that Baylor got against Butler, looking back on it now.
Yeah, their resume, I'm not saying it's the best resume. I know I saw your Jeff Goodman's top 25. I think you had him at number two. Are there many other programs that have the wins they now have at this point of the year?
If they win tomorrow in Lawrence, they should be the number one team in the country. I don't know if they will be, but they should be. The resume says that they will have accomplished more than any other team in the country to this point in time. Now, again, they're 0-17. I read that number off to Scott last night during the podcast, and I said, how many of those are yours? And he said, I don't know, but a lot of them. And he knows how hard it's going to be to beat Kansas at Allen Fieldhouse, one of the most difficult places to play in the country. But the solace he could take, as he said, at least, you know, the last few, we've had a chance. We've gotten closer, where maybe the first 8 or 10 that he played against Bill Self in Lawrence, it was double figures and they didn't really have much of a shot.
You mentioned Allen Fieldhouse. Everyone knows the history, the tradition, the success and the streaks and all the things. And you mentioned that as well, that 0-17 or whatever. Is it because they're just damn good, or is it because there's something special about Allen Fieldhouse?
I mean, I think there's an intimidation factor, too, especially for guys who haven't played there before. I know for me, there's only one place I go, and I kind of get goosebumps. Walking up, and then when the video comes in, the pregame video before the game, it's not Duke, it's Kansas. And I don't know, there's just an aura about that place that I don't get anywhere else. So my assumption is the players get the same type of feeling. And maybe it is a little bit of an intimidation factor. Obviously, you also get the referees, and you're going to get calls against you when you go into Allen Fieldhouse. And Kansas has some pretty good damn teams, too. I mean, it's a combination, I think, of everything that makes it so hard to win there.
How much did the dark cloud of what was going on with Adidas, how much did that bother, or how much did that create any kind of drama, along with maybe distractions for Bill Self?
I think it did a year ago, significantly. I think now, and I was just with Sean Miller in Arizona earlier this week, and I asked him kind of that question. And he said, you know, I've kind of gotten used to it at this point. I said, how hard is it to walk around and just kind of focus? And he said, you know, I've gotten used to it. I'm assuming that's the same with Bill Self. I don't know how bad it's going to be when they finally get their sanctions And Bill Self doesn't know. But from what I've learned from people close to him and being around him before they played Villanova a couple weeks ago, I think he's more laser-focused now than he was, say, a year ago. I think he's out to prove that maybe he can win a national title. And if he does, you know, could he get out? Mm-hmm. I don't know. There's a lot of speculation that he goes to the Spurs with his buddy R.C. Buford if Pop retires. I don't know if that's going to happen or not, but I would say if he wins it all and that came calling, I would think he'd say, all right, I'm done at this point. Why wouldn't I take a job like this in San Antonio? Now, again, that's speculation. Nobody knows if R.C. Buford would, you know, prioritize Bill Self or not.
You know, there's that stretch, Jeff Goodman with us, national writer for men's basketball. There was that stretch where number one teams were going down weekly. Even my alma mater went into, my God, Cameron Indoor, it seemed like a long time ago, and it was, and beat Duke, which is still to this day an amazing feat for Kyle Keller. Is there, in your opinion, a wide-open field, or is it still, you know, I mean, I know the men's game is so much more wide-open than the women's game. They have their five or seven teams, but is it right now kind of a crapshoot on who might survive all this?
Yeah, I think it is for the most part. I don't know how many teams, but I just see less disparity from the number one team, whoever you want to say it is right now, whether it's Gonzaga, whether it's Kansas, whether it's Duke, whether it's Baylor. I think you can make a case for all four of those teams right now, even maybe San Diego State because they haven't lost the game, to Arizona, let's say, who went into Oregon last night. I have them unranked. They almost knocked off Oregon on the road. So Arizona right now might be a 7 or 8 seed. And I don't see a whole heck of a lot of difference from Arizona to Baylor at the end of the day, especially come February when those young guards in Tucson, you know, get a little bit older, more experienced, and are playing like freshmen.
What does it say about Scott, obviously Kim Mulkey as well, that, you know, we just saw Matt Rhule move on to Carolina, an unprecedented contract for a guy that's coached in the NFL for a year. Happy for him. He earned all of that. Yeah. Everyone, what does it say about Scott that he absolutely just loves it? I don't think he's ever looked around. I'm sure people have looked at him, but he loves Waco, Texas, and loves Baylor University.
Yeah, listen, he's trying to convince me last night that it's the second best city in America. So, you know, like I said, hey, listen, no disrespect, but I'll put San Diego at number one, and there's a few I'd probably put ahead of Waco. I don't mean to disrespect the city, but listen, 17 years is a long time.
Yep.
It's a long time, and he's had his roots there. He's raised his family there. It's a great place to raise his family. There's not a ton of pressure on him now. Now, again, if one of the big boys, a blue blood, a place that he felt like he could, you know, it's like Chris Mack, right? Chris Mack went Xavier to Louisville. All the Xavier fans went crazy. How could you leave? Well, listen, at Louisville, he's got a chance to go to the Final Four every single year. It recruits itself. I think if somebody let's say a Kansas and Arizona, one of those types of schools, UCLA, went after Scott Drew, it would be hard for him to turn that down. But for now, I would say he's pretty happy, pretty comfortable in Baylor, and fans there should be ecstatic to have him.
You know, I love what you said earlier, Jeff, and I've known you for a long time. A lot of it was through Kyle Keller, but I love how you even admitted early on that you were not sold and weren't sure about Scott Drew, and that it's great that we can change, right? That we can
absolutely
we can change. I love what you said. Thank you very much, buddy. Thanks for being a part of the show.
Dave, always good to be on with you, and continued success and happy holidays.
You too. That's Jeff Goodman, national men's basketball writer. He was, without a question, he was hard on Scott Drew. I mean, he was hard on Scott Drew. I even asked Scott about it a couple of times. And now with what you do, sustainability, you watch what Baylor's doing, number four in the country. Listen, I'm the idiot that said last night that Baylor women would not win at UConn. I thought they'd even get beat up. So I'm surely not going to say anything about what might happen at Lawrence at Allen Fieldhouse. Maybe I should say there's no way the men can win at Allen Fieldhouse. Just, you know, maybe that's now my deal. But God, Scott Drew and Kim Mulkey, you have a coach that did everything you could ever have asked for Matt Rhule to do other than stay longer. And then you have Scott Drew and Kim Mulkey. 37 years combined, and of course Kim with the national titles, Scott chasing that Final Four. and it's hard. And those two are absolutely tickled to be around Baylor University in Waco. They love it here, and they mean it. 344, this is ESPN Central Texas.
Visit Balcones Whiskey Distillery Tasting Room and Gift Shop, located in downtown Waco. Grab some friends and enjoy whiskey flights, refreshing cocktails, gift shopping, distillery tours, and special events. Sign up for one of their 10 weekly tours offered Tuesday through Saturday. Check their website, balconesdistilling.com/visit, for available times and book your spot today. Tours are $15 a person and include a tasting. Always distilled to appreciate. Balcones is located downtown on the corner of Franklin and 11th. Open Tuesday through Sunday.
Hi, this is Bambi Eskew from Alan Samuels House of Travel. When was the last time you experienced an adventure that took your breath away? Well, the time is now. Holland American Line and Alan Samuels House of Travel proudly present On Stage Alaska, an exhilarating live performance and stunning visual presentation. You'll discover all the great land has to offer. Towering mountains, ice age glaciers, abundant wildlife, dog sledding, gold panning, and so much more. All in the hands of Alaska's oldest and most respected cruise line company. Holland American Line. On Stage Alaska, here for a one-night presentation Tuesday, January 14th at the Waco Hippodrome Theater. Doors will open at 6 p.m., presentation at 6:30. Don't miss this refreshingly different travel show or the opportunity for all the special bonus travel benefits that we will offer. On Stage Alaska. Call Alan Samuels House of Travel today for any questions and to RSVP. 254-776-2560, and we hope to see you there.
While your favorite team strives to add more gold championship trophies to their trophy case, in business, a championship decision is partnering with UBO Business Services and Sean Hunt. Boasting an industry-leading 94% first-time fix rate, UBO Business Service leaves their copier service competitors in the dust with their own average first-time fix rate of less than 40%. Call Sean Hunt at UBO Business Services today, 254-772-1600. That's 254-772-1600.
Hey, Central Texas, this is Julio Castillo, owner and operator of Jack Roofing and Exteriors. Let's talk Roofing for Dummies 101. First, you want to breathe. Second, you want to seal. And third, you want to defend. Today, we're going to talk about the breathing component of your roofing system. You want your roofing system to breathe properly for balanced ventilation. For more information, check us out online at jacroofs.com or call us directly at 254-732-2872. Here at Jack Roofing and Exteriors, we are making customers happy one roof at a time.
Recently on You Make the Call.
Yeah, good afternoon, gentlemen. Just wanted to say, first of all, y'all, thank y'all for all the coverage y'all did there in New Orleans and everything else. It's a great job. I don't see how you could have done it any better. I'm always know everybody always kind of looks back and see maybe we could have done this or this, but I can't think of a thing. But I appreciate y'all doing that for everybody back here in Central Texas. But the main thing is my legacy deal for this team, heck, y'all, I mean, they're 2 years ahead of anything that I would have expected. I mean, I was hoping they'd be at this point where they're at right now, 2 years down the road. I mean, I thought maybe 7 wins, 8 wins would be really good. Anything above that was gravy on the steak. You know, so I mean, you know, their legacy is they're way ahead of where they're at, and they're in a good place to, you know, maybe take another step. You know, even if they stay status quo, exactly what they did this year, that's still going to be a heck of a season, y'all.
You Make the Call on ESPN Central Texas.
I'll take a grande, no-foam, triple-cat, double-pump vanilla latte with 3.5 ice cubes, slightly shaken, extra whip.
Yeah, that's going to be an upcharge.
Great! This one is on my Kasasa cashback checking account. Kasasa pays me cash back on everyday debit card purchases, plus refunds on ATM withdrawal fees. Go on, take back banking and treat yourself to monthly cash rewards.
First Central Credit Union. Come see them today or apply online at firstcentralcu.com.
It's time for our weekly segment with Grayson Grundhafer of Sikkim365.com.
I just happened to just see, running through my timeline, Tiny Macroads, which is a parody account for Macroads, Baylor's director of athletics, who joined us earlier this week after Matt Rhule decided to move on to Carolina. And he said, "Don't you wish politicians could keep a secret like I can?" As he has the coaching search. He's right.
Yeah, that's funny.
He's right. Grayson Grundhafer, Sikkim365.com, joins us on ESPN Central Texas. Grayson, there's no question there's a huge push for assistant head coach and interim coach Joey McGuire to be the next head coach at Baylor as far as the players, the parents, a lot of other people. How careful does Mac Rhodes have to be? And I know he will be thorough without question, but how careful does he have to be to not get caught up in any of that and make sure it's the right hire, which, by the way, I would be absolutely thrilled for Joey McGuire.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I think anyone that has watched and followed Baylor football would be absolutely ecstatic if Joey McGuire ended up being, you know, the head coach at Baylor. I mean, I think that that kind of is a natural fit for sure. But I also think that Mac Rhodes' job is to be very diligent in this process. I mean, it's his job to go out and find the best coach that he believes can continue to build upon what Matt Rhule built, and not only just build upon it, but, you know, make it even better and put their own spin on it. And so I think Mac wouldn't be doing his job if he didn't, you know, try to go out and look and do a whole national search and try to find the best coach possible for Baylor. And if it ends up being Joey McGuire, then that's great. And if it ends up being someone else, then that's great too.
Have you heard much? And I know that I'm telling you, like, this thing is vacuum sealed. You know, like if I cook something and I cook too much of it, or I cook a lot of it on purpose and I want to keep it, freeze it, I vacuum seal it and then I put it in the deep freeze. And a lot of what he's doing is vacuum sealed. What is the feedback, if anything, that you are hearing at Sikkim365.com about the difference between availability of others now compared to this time 3 years ago?
Yeah, I think it's a much more highly thought of job. But to be honest with you, I mean, you look at it, and Matt Rhule ended up being a great hire, and Matt Rhule was obviously interested in the job, and there were others that were interested in the job as well. And so I think it's kind of similar, but I also think that now people are seeing, oh, wow, look at what Matt Rhule did at Baylor. How can I go in there and do the same thing? And Baylor's obviously the roster and just kind of where the brand is at now is at a much different point than it was when Coach Rhule was hired. And because of that, I do believe that there's probably more conversations that Mac Rhodes is probably having with, you know, various people that are probably a little more interested in the program. Whereas back, you know, 3 years ago, I'm sure it was a little bit more of a little bit less probably interest and more of Mac Rhodes going out and trying to specifically hone in on different targets.
Is there any concern on your part? There's none in mine. I don't even know why I'm asking you, because there's none in mine, but I'm just curious. They built this team the way they've built this team. And yes, you know, Matt has mentioned even in some interviews in Carolina or in Charlotte that he wants to build the team around the people he has, because we know that when he walked in the door, there was this absolute fear. They were going to line up in a three tight end set in the I formation and just pound the ball between the tackles, and they never did that, and he opened up his eyes to that. But the one thing that they want to do is still play great defense. No matter what they do on offense, no matter who the head coach is, we know that Phil Snow most likely is gone. Now, whatever happens with Joey McGuire or not might lead to whatever else is going on. Can they keep that continuity with what they've been doing to make the jump they've made defensively?
Yeah, I mean, I think that obviously if Joey McGuire is hired, then there's probably a greater ability to keep that continuity, and probably you would probably see them stay kind of in the similar framework of what they've built over the past 3 years and kind of what they did this season. There'd be an attempt to duplicate that, of course. If you bring in someone else, then yeah, I mean, I would assume that person's going to have a different spin on how they feel the defense needs to be played. But I would also say I think most coaches now or any coach that comes in probably is going to look at what Baylor did this season on defense and probably try to duplicate that. And we've seen that, you know, across the country, different ways that people are scheming on the defensive side, and in particular the Big 12, you're seeing a lot more teams move to that three-man front. So it really wouldn't surprise me if whoever the coaches came in and decided to kind of run a defense in a similar way, just probably have a different twist to it. But I do believe that Mac Rhodes is going to, I think a very important part of this hire is going to be who the head coach can bring in to be the offensive coordinator and defensive coordinator, and see if that, you know, if that kind of is on the same level that Baylor has been at over the last 3 years.
Well, Graylin Arnold's gone. I don't think he would leave if Matt Rhule was still here. We know James Lynch is basically all but out the door, and God bless him, man. The kind of year that he had as well. Good luck to him, if in fact that becomes official. How much of just not the attrition of Matt Rhule himself leaving, but now Lynch, Arnold, maybe, who knows, if the coach is not something that that feeds into what the players want, that doesn't mean you make the decision based on any kind of revolt. And then the coaching staff, I mean, could this thing break down quickly?
I don't think so, to be honest. I don't see a mass exodus of players. I know that a lot of players have been, you know, vouching for Joey McGuire, and that's awesome. I mean, that's their guy. He's been with them for 3 years. They know him, and of course they're going to, you know, kind of lobby for that. But I think if any coach that Mac Rhodes brings in my opinion, I think most of people that have followed what Mac Rhodes has done in his career can honestly say that whoever he brings in is going to come in and probably gain the respect and trust of the locker room pretty quickly. I would envision that definitely happening. Now, as far as, you know, Graylin leaving and maybe James Lynch leaving, which we don't know yet, that could happen. I mean, but I wouldn't say that was guaranteed not to happen in my mind. But we'll see. But I don't think that you're going to see a mass exodus depending on who the coach is. And definitely if it's Joey McGuire, you won't.
Is recruiting on hold until the decision is made? Because they don't have a lot to sign, but they still have, as you and I spoke, the day of signing day or the day after, whenever it was, they still have some work to do.
Yeah, they definitely still have some spots to fill. I know that the early enrollees, there's only three of them, will be moving in on Sunday, so definitely a little bit of progress there, of course. And so that's one thing to note. As far as the class goes, they have 12 signed. They're probably going to be looking to add five, maybe six more guys, depending on, I guess, attrition and things like that. That'll dictate that as well. But, yeah, it's pretty much on standstill. They have a lot more official visits to use, but obviously those won't be scheduled until the coach is in place. Also, junior day with the 2021 class, that also has to get scheduled as well. So lots of things for the new coach to do, and obviously the dead period is up here in less than a week. So definitely something to keep in mind if you're following recruiting, and definitely a reason why Mac Rhodes is probably going to want to try to wrap this up in a week's time. But as we know, and as I heard during his interview with you, he's not going to rush anything, and
yeah,
his process is going to be his process.
Well, we've seen one Baylor coach come in basically with one guy committed, and Jalen Petrie, and he made up lost ground, but he had a little bit more time. We'll see what happens with whoever they bring in this time. And if it's Joey McGuire, I got a feeling it won't be a problem at all, and it may not be a problem for whoever it might be. Thanks, Grayson. Have a great weekend. Grayson Grunhaver, Sikkim365.com with us on ESPN Central Texas. Coming up next, Mike McCarthy entrenched with the Cowboys. What does all of it mean? The staff and much more. Mike Fisher, 105.3 The Fan, is next.
Congratulations to the Green and Gold for a great 2019 football season. In Commons Bank enjoys being part of the community here in Waco, and we are excited to see what the 2020 football season will bring on the Brazos. Our mission at In Commons Bank is to be the best community bank in Central Texas, and we are doing just that. Our locations include Mejia, Fairfield, Coolidge, Mart, Rosebud, and Waco. Stop by any of our branches or visit us online at incommonsbank.com to find out more about us. Come see me, Regina, and go Green and Gold.
Member FDIC.
Okay, so what's the most important part about your house? Nope, it's not that bar or the theater room with that sound system. Think about it. The most important thing is your roof. It has to withstand all that Mother Nature can throw your way, so it makes sense to have the best. McAdams & Sons Roofing is your first choice when it comes to protecting that valuable asset. Experienced professionals using only the best materials. So for new construction, re-roofs, repairs, or remodels, for composition and metal roofs, think McAdams & Sons Roofing first. And now McAdams & Sons Roofing is installing seamless gutters to give your home a bright new look and added value. McAdams & Sons Roofing will come out and take a look at your roof and handle all the insurance process for you. Don't let any fly-by-night company look at your roof. Let a real professional you trust do the work. Put McAdams & Sons over 40 years experience to work for you. Check it out at McAdamsRoofing.com. That's McAdamsRoofing.com. Or give them a call today at 254-799-2949. Because you don't want a kid with your house's lid.
Why drive an SUV like every other when you can drive a Cadillac? Improbably spacious, impressively stylish. The Cadillac XT4, the midsize XT5, and the 7-passenger XT6 offer the ideal size to fit your lifestyle. Get a gently used 2019 XT4 for only $33.9 or the midsize 2019 XT5 for just $42.9. Qualified buyers can get a new 2020 XT6 lease for just $4.99 a month. Experience Cadillac today at Richard Carr Cadillac. See dealer for details.
Hi, this is Bambi Eskew from Alan Samuels House of Travel. When was the last time you experienced an adventure that took your breath away? Well, the time is now. Holland American Line and Alan Samuels House of Travel proudly present On Stage Alaska, an exhilarating live performance and stunning visual presentation. You'll discover all the great land has to offer. Towering mountains, ice age glaciers, abundant wildlife, dog sledding, gold panning, and so much more. All in the hands of Alaska's oldest and most respected cruise line company, Holland American Line. On Stage Alaska, here for a one-night presentation, Tuesday, January 14th at the Waco Hippodrome Theater. Doors will open at 6 p.m., presentation at 6:30. Don't miss this refreshingly different travel show or the opportunity for all the special bonus travel benefits that we will offer. On Stage Alaska, call Alan Samuels House of Travel today for any questions and to RSVP. 254-776-2560, and we hope to see you there.
Boozer's is the wedding ring store and more. If you're ready to get engaged or already married and want to upgrade your wife's ring for a special anniversary, Boozer's is the place to go. With the largest selection of premier quality diamond engagement rings and wedding rings in Central Texas. They have 7 cases with over 300 styles of rings from top designers like Natalie Kay. Choose from yellow, white, or rose gold, plus beautiful top quality loose diamonds. With an in-house jewelry, they can also custom make anything you want. Bring in a picture or drawing and let Boozer's create your one-of-a-kind pendant or ring. They can even use some of your old gold and diamond jewelry to create something new. At Boozer's, you'll find a great selection of quality timepieces, and Boozer's is the place for expert watch maintenance and repairs, too. They specialize in expert Rolex watch repair using genuine Rolex parts. For fine jewelry, watches, custom work, and more, go to Boozer's on Valley Mills and Lake Air Drive in Waco.
Y'all listen up. Let me tell you something about Group Meals from Rudy's Barbecue. It's got all you need for all the folks you gotta feed, smoked meat, sides, and more. There's everything down to the tablecloth, just like the one that you see at the store. And a bridal shower, it's better than flowers. And a long-distance meeting, it'll pass the hours. It'll feed all the cousins at a family function. It's better than potluck at a church luncheon. Next time you need to feed 10 or more, call and order a Rudy's Group Meal.
Next in line.
KRZI Waco, K256BW Waco, ESPN Central Texas. The 4 o'clock hour of You Make the Call is brought to you by McAdams and Sons Roofing. It's time for our weekly segment with Mike Fisher of 105.3 The Fan in Dallas, presented by Balcones and Centex Rehabilitation.
You know, I say it, stick your head in the tank of gasoline, light it with a match. Let's go full throttle. Mike Fisher, 105.3 The Fan in Dallas on the Cowboys in the Mike McCarthy era that's in place. Mike, your thoughts about just Mike McCarthy, the introduction. What's been the reaction now after just a couple of days?
I think the initial thing for a lot of observers, fans, maybe media too, is it was somewhat refreshing for the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys to let his hair down just a little bit and to be somewhat generous with stories of his dealings with Jerry and Steven and his thoughts on his family and all the rest. And I don't think it's fair to characterize Jason Garrett as somebody that never did that. But I think Mike McCarthy certainly felt for his very first time, and even though he's been doing this for a long time, you know, he used the word anxious when he probably meant excited, but in reality, it was probably a little of both. I bet you he's very excited about what's on the horizon, and then I bet you he's a little anxious, too, if you really know the definition of anxious.
Does he understand what it's going to be like to cover or to be the head coach? I know he mentioned about the iconic job or whatever. Is there a certain kind of personalities that fits this role and some that can just get eaten up with it?
You know, of all the questions that I've asked and answered this week, that might be number one. That's pretty good of you, young man.
Thank you, sir.
And my answer is no way. No way, no way is does he know what this is. That doesn't mean there's no way he'll figure it out. I think he will. I think that year off, the McCarthy project, I bet you that helped him understand media a lot better, because after all, that was cameras chasing him around.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it was cameras orchestrated by him, but he still had to – I bet you he understands, you know, don't pick your nose in front of a camera better than ever now. But he did fly in to the star that day on Jerry's helicopter, Jer Force One.
Yep.
We like to call it. And he did look out there and see waves and waves and waves of media people. And then just outside the Ford Center, there was fans standing out there trying to get a glimpse. And that is what makes this different. He made the joke about never having sat at a big table before to address the media.
Mm-hmm.
It's not completely true. He actually has done that in Green Bay. But his point is everything's bigger in Texas, including the tables that you have to sit at.
All right. So what did you think he learned during his time off, other than the obvious that he missed the job of coaching among one of the 32 teams in the world that has a head coaching job in the NFL? What was a lot of what he's done, you think it's legitimate of how he's gone back to try to reestablish who he is, learn from it? I can see that. It makes a lot of sense.
You know, a lot of what he's talked about having learned is analytics. That's the one that jumps out to a lot of us who remain puzzled by Jason Garrett saying on 105.3 The Fan that he doesn't use specific – now, he was answering about a specific one, but he certainly left the impression that in-game analytics, that's for somebody else. That's not for us. And yet, Smokey, this organization spends a lot of time and money and effort on analytics. Nobody knows it. Nobody believes me when I say that because of Jason's response. And then Jerry's response, too, I think the next day on 105.3 The Fan, when he says that, yeah, when it comes to drilling for oil, I just go with my gut. No, you don't. He's just trying to be supportive of the coach. Jerry Jones, I bet you, spends millions of dollars over the last 50 years on analyzing where to drill. And so the analytics would be the one that jumps out most obviously because he brings it up and it sounds pretty sexy to the young audience.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the other one. You know, he clashed with Aaron Rodgers, of course. And before that, clashed a little bit with Brett Favre. Now, one of the reasons that they clashed with Brett Favre is because they were transitioning away from him. Remember when Rodgers finally took over and then Brett Favre was going to leave and they asked him, well, why don't you just stay and be the backup? And he said, no, thank you. But all these years later, Aaron Rodgers and Brett Favre both say great things about him. In the meantime, though, maybe at age 56, the old dog learned some new ways to be both a taskmaster, because boy, does this locker room need one,
mm-hmm.
and be somebody that the respect comes with fondness. That's a hard trick to pull off. Maybe he could do it.
All right, you heard that term, or I don't know if you used it much, but you heard a lot about Dak friendly. Is Mike McCarthy quarterback friendly? It seems like that's kind of been his history.
Yeah, again, what he's done with those two guys, Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers, speaks volumes. Not to say they didn't do a lot for themselves, but that's why he's kind of considered a quarterback whisperer, because of what he did there. But he's given good answers, I think, to the question of, what about Dak? What about Zeke? And his answer basically is, what about both? He says, we're going to be quarterback-centric, but at the same time, the best way to have a good quarterback is to have a good running game. And that's logical and true. He says, we're going to feed Ezekiel Elliott. That makes all the sense in the world. But do you have to feed him at the same level that you have in recent years so the wear and tear starts bringing him down now as he approaches what I guess we call mid-career? If you look back on the entire body of work on Mike McCarthy, and some people have shortened up on that by saying, well, he hadn't had a 1,000-yard rusher since Eddie Lacy in 2014. Yeah, but maybe that's because he used multiple running backs some years. Maybe that's because Aaron Rodgers checks out of plays, and when you have Aaron Rodgers on your team, it's probably a good idea to let him throw. And then the other big note here, 2001, Smokey, an old friend of yours, rushed for 1,300 yards, caught 60 balls for 500 more yards.
and the offensive coordinator of that team was McCarthy. The team was the Saints, and the player was Ricky Williams.
Okay, yeah.
So let's use Ricky Williams of the Saints when Mike McCarthy was his offensive coordinator as part of the body of work, because they ran, and threw, and the running back was in the middle of it all.
What was this story you had on SI.com as a part of a lot of things that you have your hands in, whether it's writing or segments, about a former player basically telling Jason Garrett to blank off? What was that about?
Yeah, and Jane Slater of NFL Network was on 105.3 The Fan yesterday, and she detailed the story of a text exchange between a player and Coach Garrett, in which Garrett was saying, hey, we need to do this, this, and this. And the player is responding by saying, you know, bleep off, bleep you. Believe me, I know how it works around here. I just have to go and do what Jerry says, not what you say. And I trust Jane implicitly, so I think she's right on it. I've kind of talked with her about the context, because I'm glad it comes up so you and me can practice the context. That doesn't mean 53 guys did that. It means one guy did it. It doesn't mean necessarily to happen this year. Could have happened 4 years ago. But my big takeaway from it is, and I'm crossing my fingers for the sake of the Joneses and McCarthy here, the big take is that for 25 years, that's been true. If not that a player is F-U-ing the coach, not that part, but the part about knowing, starting with Deion Sanders in 1994, ultimately, if I want something, I'll just go to Jerry. I'll just march right up to Jerry's office. And they can put a stop to that here by understanding that the organizational flow chart doesn't mean that Jerry can't be grandfatherly. He's always going to be that. But you've got to go up through channels. You got a complaint, you take it to your boss. Then he takes it to his boss. Then he takes it to his boss. And around here at Valley Ranch and at the Star, way too often the player just thinks, listen, I know who really controls the power around here. Why would I bother with Jason Garrett or Dave Campo or Barry Switzer or Chan Gailey or even Bill Parcells to some degree? Stop that. And I think you stop a lot of the bleeding when it comes to ownership and fun and marketing and serious football business.
Last question, Mike. Mike Fisher, Fish Sports on Twitter. The coaching staff is slowly but surely being put together. Is it a good sign? You want the best people. Is it a good sign that it doesn't look like it's an old Cowboys gang coming all back together again?
It is an old Packers gang and an old McCarthy gang, but he's clearly picking the staff. Otherwise, if it was the Joneses, as is so often the case here, Mark Colombo would still be here. Sanjay Lal would still be here. There'd be no question about Gary Brown, and on and on and on. Instead, this head coach goes out and gets Joe Philbin. Sources telling me that not only will he be the offensive line coach, probably be the assistant head coach, he's got skins on the wall. Mike Nolan, skins on the wall. The special teams coach from the Rams, as you know, Jim Fossil's son, John Fossil, might be the best special teams coach in the NFL. They went and grabbed him. So they are assembling guys with skins on the wall, no doubt. I'll give you these two nuggets. One, Joe Witt Jr., who also coached with McCarthy in Green Bay, thought he was getting the defensive coordinator job. And then the Cowboys made a switch there. So it's cronyism if you don't like it, that he picks Mike Nolan. You know, because it's pretty clear that, listen, I'll get your back, you get mine. You know, Mike Nolan gave him his first job 15 years ago as an offensive coordinator.
Mm-hmm.
So look at what comes around full circle. The guy they passed over, though, was also a crony. He happens to be 40 instead of 60. He happens to be African-American, but it still counts. And then the chasing of a running backs coach, and I don't know where we are yet on this. I'll check. But Stan Drayton, the University of Texas running backs coach, has interviewed with the Cowboys. And the Cowboys are trying to lure him out of Austin. The Rams are trying to do the same thing. His biggest stop and his best stop was at Ohio State when he was the mentor and a hard arse on his favorite student, Ezekiel Elliott.
Mike, thank you. Have a great weekend. Appreciate your insight, as always. It's Mike Fisher with us on 105.3 The Fan in Dallas. Coming up next, Baylor sophomore Nalissa Smith after the win at UConn. Next on ESPN Central Texas.
It's Matt Mosley Show, brought to you by Jim Turner Chevrolet of McGregor, the official Chevy dealer, Baylor Athletics, your Central Texas Chevy truck headquarters. January is a new year for new deals. on 2020 Silverados, great deals on remaining 2019 models, huge rebates, low finance rates combined with our transparent pricing, highest trade allowances, and a huge inventory of new Chevrolets for you to choose from online at TurnerChevy.com. That's Jim Turner Chevrolet of McGregor, the official Chevy dealer of Baylor Athletics.
What are you supposed to do when you pull up behind a truck that doesn't even have a hitch? I mean, it's like looking at plumber's crack. Do you cover your kids' eyes, look away, and switch radio stations? Hi, Jay here from Pickup Outfitters, asking for your help to end this embarrassing form of truck nudity. If you have a truck, at some point, you need to pull something. It could be a trailer to haul stuff off to the dump, maybe a jet ski, a boat, an RV, a horse trailer, even just a bike rack. The point is, put a hitch on your truck's backside. And at Pickup Outfitters, we actually install more hitches than anything else. Whether it's a receiver hitch, a gooseneck, or a fifth wheel, we'll cover your aspirations to not drive a nude truck. And all hitches are covered by the Pickup Outfitters Lifetime Installation Guarantee. So cover your rear end with a new hitch from Pickup Outfitters on Lake Erie Drive in Waco, where we're fighting to end truck nudity in Central Texas. Check them out on our website at createacommotion.com/hitches.
Texas Farm Bureau Insurance, protecting Texans since 1952. ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Craig Smoke with an ESPN Central Texas Sports Center update. City Tire and Battery specializes in alignments, brakes, tune-up, suspension work, and oil changes. Check them out at 1502 South Valley Mills Drive in Waco. Number 4 Baylor men's basketball hits the road this weekend for a huge showdown with number 3 Kansas. And head coach Scott Drew talked about what he expects in this matchup.
Well, I think if you look across college basketball, it's first to 60 wins, it looks like nowadays. But both of us have two top 10 defenses, and I don't think points will be easy. And that's why the more you can get in transition, we've got to take care of the basketball. We can't have 20 turnovers and went up there, so hopefully we'll do a better job with that. But second chance points and transition will be huge for both teams.
Well, that pregame starting at 11:30 Saturday right here on ESPN Central Texas. Sunday, number 6 Lady Bears play host to Oklahoma State. We'll have cover starting at 12:30 Sunday right here on ESPN Central Texas.
Sports Center every 20 minutes, only on ESPN Central Texas. A championship decision in business is partnering with Sean Hunt and UBO Business Services. With their 94% first-time fix rate, they leave their copier service competitors in the dust. Call Sean today at 772-1600, UBO Business Services.
By the way, at 5:30 today in the 5 o'clock hour, Adam Rittenberg, national college football writer, his thoughts on the Baylor coaching search and much more in the national championship game coming up Monday. Of course, Clemson and LSU. Last night, what a moment for women's basketball. Anytime Baylor and UConn get together, and ESPN does a nice job, no question, of highlighting women's basketball on occasion. In fact, led SportsCenter with Baylor's win against UConn in Hartford, and one of the stars of that game, many of them for Baylor, was sophomore Nelissa Smith out of Cibolo, out of San Antonio, Texas, is the best way to put it. And she joins us now live on ESPN Central Texas. So how many people have said, hey, great game last night to you ever since you got back? I know you got back very late in the morning.
It's really been like social media. That's where a lot of the attention has came from since we did get back so late yesterday. But coming back and being on campus now, a lot of people are saying like congrats and stuff like that.
I saw you grow up last year along the way with the team that obviously went on to win the national championship. But to me, the biggest moment for you, and there may have been 50, but the one when Lauren Cox went down in the national championship game in Tampa, and of course it took a big blow to the team, and then you came in immediately, like on the first time, first possession, hit a shot, a jump shot, even though you had to hold on to win the game. Was that kind of who you were last night in the fourth quarter when that game was up for grabs?
Yeah, I would say that was the national championship was a glimpse of it. I feel like I showed it all last night versus UConn. So, just got, like, a lot of open looks last night, so that's where I scored the ball the most.
Do you guys realize, and I'm sure you do by now, and I know you've even been told this in the post game, how many streaks ended the last couple of years when you played UConn?
Yeah, I've seen it on Twitter. I remember they were telling us about it, and it was crazy when they told us it was, like, 93 or something like that win streak. So that's crazy. That's unbelievable.
98 consecutive games at home they'd won. 126 regular season games last year when you beat them in Waco, and both Baylor teams the last couple of years have ended those streaks against an iconic team in UConn. What did you know? They were ranked number one. UConn, the name for women's basketball, obviously is a big deal. They were undefeated. What did you guys see on film that you thought, you know, I'm not saying take advantage of, but what did you see on film leading up to the game that felt like you could have some success in the game?
Oh, well, we knew UConn was a great program. We knew that they were going to execute no matter what. So we watched film. We just tried to pick apart some of the little things that they did, like their post positioning, trying to collapse on that, or getting a lot of help side from Lauren Cox, just things like that. Closing out on shooters, making sure that other people don't shoot the ball. So just little things like that we watched on film.
How much does it help, even though she has to, and she played really well last night, but how much does it help to have the superstar, the All-American, and Lauren Cox back right now to be able to help you guys out going forward?
It helps a lot. Lauren Cox, she just knows the game of basketball. She knows where she's supposed to be. She helps you a lot. Like, if you don't know the plays, she helps you in just all the little ways. So it's a pleasure playing with her. I love playing with her. She always helps me through the game. She's a great role model.
In a weird way, was it a silver lining that she was out that long? Because it gave, I mean, you already had a lot of minutes, obviously, Queen Egbo. Was it a silver lining you guys learned to play without her to kind of maybe everybody get a little bit better?
Yeah, well, I mean, it sucks seeing one of our best players go down, so we had to find out a way to still execute and still play Baylor basketball without her. But, I mean, hey, I'm glad she's back.
Now, listen, there was that tip-in, an offensive rebound tip-in. And Dee Dee Richards was right there next to you, and she was trying to block out. You tip it in, you get fouled, and she did her, like, I mean, I don't know if anybody celebrates or screams or whatever with the words, I mean, in her body language. Can you just try to describe Dee Dee Richards as a teammate?
She's a great teammate. If you want someone with excitement, that's the person you need to go to. She's excited all the time. She's going to show you so many different personalities. She's just a great human being. She got a great personality.
How often a day, I'm serious, how many times a day does she make you crack up?
Well, she's my roommate, so it's 24/7 with her. I just hear her all the time. She's a comedian.
How many, like, all right, now I'm not trying to get too personal here, but I'm having fun with this because Dee Dee knows how to get dressed up. I mean, she knows how to get girly girl. You know that. Is her, like, her cosmetic cabinet, like, one of a million? What's that like?
Well, she don't wear a lot of, like, the makeup and stuff during the game and stuff. But see her outside of, like, practices and stuff, that's where you're going to see it all. That's where you're going to see all the glam and stuff like that.
Oh, she's a character, isn't she?
For sure.
You guys had Chloe Jackson. Of course, you were a freshman, so you were coming into the program the same time that she did. But now it's Taya Cooper who put up a bunch of points and is a tremendous scorer as well. And learning about Kim Mulkey and the need to make sure you spread the ball around and also the ability to play some defense. How much did Chloe Jackson being a part of the team a year ago as a transfer, you think, help this year when Taya Cooper came in from South Carolina?
Oh, I think it helped a lot just seeing how a grad transfer can come and change the program like Chloe did. And Taya Cooper coming in and doing the same thing. I mean, I guess, like, Chloe kind of showed, like, that grad transfers can come to Baylor. Because I remember Kim saying, like, she didn't accept, like, a lot of grad transfers before Chloe. But if people could play like Chloe, then she'll take them all the time.
All right. Does last night's win mean anything other than you won a game? Is it matter to you? Now, I know that Kim's trying to downplay it, and that's fine. And I know it's not a conference game, but come on. I mean, you just won against UConn and Hartford. It's got to mean a little bit more than you win a non-conference game against just nobody.
I mean, yeah, it meant a lot last night. Like I said, they're a great program, so beating a good team, it just meant a lot. But, I mean, the next day, you know how Kim is. We got to focus on something else.
Yeah, you just wrapped up practice, didn't you, like within the last 30 minutes or so?
Yeah, we were scouting Oklahoma State. So that's what we're focusing on now.
So you play all the way up the Northeast Coast, four-hour plane ride. You get back. You have to get up and go to class this morning. Then you turn around and you still have practice because there's a short turnaround. You play Sunday against Oklahoma State. Did you get any rest at all, or will you sleep really well tonight?
Oh, I'm going to sleep great tonight. This is where all the sleep's going to come into play.
Now, listen, for those that are just normal people, and you're just a normal person as well, but obviously you're a fantastic player for Baylor, and you have been for, and you were a great player in high school. What is it like to turn on ESPN or in some national show and see you being featured or highlighted in a package of highlights?
It's a blessing. I've always dreamed of being in this position, and now that I'm in it, I can't take it for granted. Like, I love seeing it, love seeing my name on TV, pictures, and all that stuff. Hope more is to come.
What's more important, defense or scoring?
Definitely defense. Coach really focuses on defense. We're mm-hmm. a defensive team, so that's what we're really working on right now.
Is that something you've had to learn along the way? Because there's obviously you've got a great offensive game, but you're starting to really get better on defense as well.
Oh, for sure. I talked about it with Coach like 3 days ago. We had a whole conversation about how I got to help on both ends of the floor. Like, the offense is going to come, but I got to make sure I'm focusing on defense right now.
Nalissa Smith had herself a game, and Baylor wins at UConn last night. Beat them up pretty good by, 16 points and ended that long streak. How much do you see the progression of both you and Queen Egbo inside and really kind of growing up? Along with the time when Lauren was out, how much do you see the two of you getting better and better?
I feel like we're growing up a lot. We're being put in like great positions that we could showcase our talent. So being on the floor with a person like Lauren Cox and the rest of my teammates is helping us a lot. They get us the ball real good, so that's helping us.
Hey, thanks for the time. We appreciate you, Nalissa. Congratulations on last night's game.
Thank you so much.
That's Nalissa Smith, sophomore for Baylor. She had 20 points. That's the 11th time this season she's had 10-plus points, 29th time in her career, and she's got a young career. Fifth time to go over 20 points in her career, a double-double, eighth of her career, fifth of the year, and 12 rebounds along with the 20 points she had last night in the win against UConn, 74-58, and it was dominant. It was like a one-point game entering the fourth quarter. Baylor goes on a – I think UConn scored the first 2 points to cut it to one. Baylor then scores, 15 straight? 19-6 they outscore UConn to win the game 74-58. Baylor at home Sunday against Oklahoma State. Coming up, Baylor men in Lawrence tonight to play Kansas tomorrow afternoon. And Scott Drew met with the media at Texas Arrow right before they left. We'll have that. Also, I just added Adam Rittenberg, national college football writer. He'll be on the show today with us at 5:30. This is ESPN Central Texas.
It's the Start Something New sales event going on now at Cameron Autoplex in Cameron, Texas. Start the new year out with a bang with 20% off MSRP on around 1,500 Lone Star Crew Cab. And when it comes to heavy-duty pickups, nobody has a better selection than Cameron Autoplex, like 8,000 off MSRP on a Ram 2500 Bighorn Mega Cab 4x4. Start something new this year in a new Ram pickup from Cameron Autoplex. So make that short drive and save a lot, because it's always cheaper in Cameron.
Hey everyone, it's Jason Miller with Syntex Rehab in Belton and in Harker Heights. I want you to think about that one thing that pain is keeping you from doing. It could be in your back, your neck, or your knees. But what is it keeping you from doing? Is it getting up and down from the floor with your kids? Is it playing your favorite sport or even working out? It could be something as simple as driving your car comfortably or getting a good night's sleep. I know from personal experience that pain can keep you from doing a lot of the things that you love to do. So I'd like to make an offer to you. Simply visit my website at syntexrehab.com, and there for you, for free, are packets of information on how to relieve back pain, neck and shoulder pain, and knee pain. That's syntexrehab.com, or you can call our clinic at 254-630-1186, and we'd be happy to mail it to you. Again, go to syntexrehab.com and download the free packets. Feel free to chat with our patient care specialist directly online. You can get back to a life with less pain.
Since studies show more and more people use their mobile devices to conduct banking business, Community Bank and Trust is keeping pace with the latest technology. Both commercial and personal customers can make mobile deposits. With our responsive mobile app, you can complete any banking task right from your phone. With Community Bank and Trust, enjoy state-of-the-art banking. Anywhere, anytime, on any device. Member FDIC.
Touchdown! At the drop of a tailgate, here's your touchdown meal. Kick off your tailgate party with Slovacek West tailgate boxes. Each box feeds 10 people with delicious savings of your choice. Smoked barbecue brisket, pulled pork, Slovacek sausage, and more. Every box contains everything you need to make that extra point, including sides, utensils, sauce, tea, cups, and ice. Customize and order your tailgate box by 2 p.m. and it will be ready to pick up the next day. Don't punt when you can score big with Slovacek West. Slovacek, you'll love our sausage.
While your favorite team strives to add more gold championship trophies to their trophy case, in business, a championship decision is partnering with UBO Business Services and Sean Hunt. Boasting an industry-leading 94% first-time fix rate, UBO Business Service leaves their copier service competitors in the dust with their own average first-time fix rate of less than 40%. Call Sean Hunt at UBO Business Services today, 254-772-1600. That's 254-772-1600.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Craig Smoke with an ESPN Central Texas Sports Center update. City Tire and Battery specializes in alignments, brakes, tune-up, suspension work, and oil changes. Check them out at 1502 South Valley Mills Drive in Waco. Number 4 Baylor men's basketball hits the road this weekend for a huge showdown with number 3 Kansas. And head coach Scott Drew talked about what he expects in this matchup.
Well, I think if you look across college basketball, it's first to 60 wins, it looks like nowadays. But both of us have two top 10 defenses, and I don't think points will be easy. And that's why the more you can get in transition, we've got to take care of the basketball. We can't have 20 turnovers and went up there, so hopefully we'll do a better job with that. But second chance points and transition will be huge for both teams.
Well, that pregame starting at 11:30 Saturday right here on ESPN Central Texas. Sunday, number 6 Lady Bears play host to Oklahoma State. We'll have cover starting at 12:30 Sunday right here on ESPN Central Texas.
Sports Center every 20 minutes, only on ESPN Central Texas.
All right, Baylor, man, what a week it's been. Ever thought about this for a second? Matt Rhule announces he's going to Carolina on, what was it, Tuesday?
Yeah, it was Tuesday.
Tuesday night, after a gut punch Tuesday morning, Baylor men's basketball wins in Lubbock against the a team that was in the Final Four and a top 25 team against Texas Tech. Last night, Baylor. And, of course, Kim Mulkey, no one's had more success than her in anything, anywhere in Baylor. You know, I always do pound for pound who's the best fighter in America. And I used to, I don't do that anymore because I can't tell you who that might be. Pound for pound, the best fighter. That doesn't mean, that means if you're 198 or you're 145. And I even do that in high school football, whether it's Mark or we're talking about somebody that's a 5A or 6A school. We know that 6A and 5A would win a game head-to-head, but pound for pound, who's better as far as their resume? Pound for pound, Kim Mulkey is as good a coach as you're going to find anywhere, what Scott Drew does with men's basketball, but pound for pound, no matter what she does, and no, she would not be a good football coach. I know everyone thinks she would be, and I know that, yeah, I get it. Stop. She's a great women's basketball coach. And she's stayed with Baylor for 20 years through all the thick and thin, but I'm telling you right now, pound for pound, no matter what sport, you can't find anyone better. They just went into UConn and just, like, took their soul. UConn! And took their soul. So Scott Drew and men's basketball on their way to Lawrence, Kansas, to play tomorrow against KU. You can hear the game right here on ESPN Central Texas. And a very short visit with the media, thanks to Jerry Hill at Texas Aero.
Scott, just a premier matchup. It has to be great for the Big 12 in general.
Definitely great for the conference whenever you have two top five teams going at it, a lot of national exposure and a lot of good recognition for the Big 12. At the same time, for us, gives us a chance to play a quality opponent where we get to see where we can improve for the rest of the year. And at the same time, whenever you're playing someone like Kansas on their court, if you have any weaknesses, they get exposed.
What do you see from those guys?
Well, I think in college basketball, you have a lot of either great guard play or inside play, but very few have both. And that's why we have both teams in the top five. And with Doak, he's such a force down low. And obviously, on the perimeter, they got a lot of weapons. But him being back from injury from last year really changes their team.
health-wise, you guys feeling pretty good going into this one too?
Yeah, I think in the Big 12, every game you play, you're a little banged up, and that's a par for the course when you got grown men playing as hard and competing as you do in the Big 12. It's a marathon, so I don't think anyone will be healthy, completely healthy, until a month after season from here on out.
Scott, you mentioned their size. Is this a game where maybe Tristan might get a few more minutes? Or?
Yeah, Tristan, really, it always comes down to how he's moving, how he's feeling, how he's able to play. So I think we've used the approach baby steps, and it kind of be game-time decisions to see how he's progressed.
With the first time, you know, potentially beating them at the first, at the Allen Fieldhouse, still, you know, hasn't happened yet. I mean, this team's obviously extremely talented. You know, talk about that, you know, that opportunity and the talent on this team.
Well, it's definitely going to happen at some point, and we'd like it to be now. but really, playing home and away, you get a lot more matchups. And before, when Big 12 was just every other year on the road, you didn't get as many opportunities or cracks at it. And we've had some really good games up there and just haven't been able to finish. So one of these years we will, and hopefully it's this year.
Scott, both teams are high in the league in defense. You expecting a pretty physical, kind of defensive-oriented game?
Well, I think if you look across college basketball, it's first to 60 wins, it looks like nowadays. But both of us have two top 10 defenses, and I don't think points will be easy, and that's why the more you can get in transition, we got to take care of the basketball. We can't have 20 turnovers and win up there, so hopefully we'll do a better job with that. But second chance points in transition will be huge for both teams.
Why is the game like that? You mentioned that, and it is across the board. You look at it, and it's fewer points.
Well, I think first you move the line back, and I think in hindsight, probably just a 2 + 2 = 4. You move the line back, it's harder to score.
Right.
And the thought that it would create more offense probably was a little naive on everybody's thought pattern. So I think really it's just defenses are probably ahead of offenses right now, and it might take a year or two. And typically every year they moved it back, it takes a little time for people to adjust.
That's Scott Drew as he's about to leave with the team. They may have already landed. In fact, they have in Lawrence, Kansas. Baylor tomorrow against number 2 KU. Baylor number 4. Kansas 12-2. Both teams 2-0 in the conference. Noon tip at Allen Fieldhouse. All 16,300 plus. Games on CBS. Brad Nessler and Bill Rafferty, the best. And two of the best. And then John Morris, Pat Nenley, of course, on the call right here on ESPN Central Texas. 11:30 pregame, 12 o'clock the tip. Women play Sunday at 1 after coming off the win against UConn. We've tried to take every angle possible with both the women's win and UConn, the men's game with KU, and we're not done as well. Again, coming up in a minute, I want to get feedback. We have not had a chance to get with you. I'm going to open the text line up, 254-662-1660, and just plain flat phone calls. I asked yesterday who of the road teams, of the four road teams, do you think would have the best chance of winning? And it came down to like the Seahawks and then maybe Vikings. Not much love at all for the Texans and the Titans. The Patriots, of course, are out. And there's some new teams, new faces in the playoffs this year. What is the scale? I'm just curious. I don't care what fan of what team you like. Most of you, of course, are out here. A lot of you are Cowboys fans, and so they're done. I don't know how this will go. I say that a lot. That's why I ask. I always have a theory when someone calls up the show and goes, you know, I know this is a dumb question. If you don't know the answer, it's not a dumb question. Never. If you don't know the answer and you want to, and you then there's no question that's dumb, because that means you're looking for information. You're looking to get smarter. And so I don't know how this goes. I'm telling you, I know Q would listen, would watch. I'm going to watch all. I'll watch as many of the four games as I can. Not every second of every game. What is your scale of excitement of the four games this weekend? Maybe it's me. I don't have, like, I'm at 5.
I would say I'm probably about a 5 or a 6. I've watched more NFL football over the past couple of weeks than I have in about a year. And I've gotten really into it, the level of play and everything, but I think what turned a lot of people off was the penalties. But as far as the matchups this weekend, there's none that are really...
Well, you have some teams that are not real juicy. You know? I mean, you do. And then, of course, it's like the Packers at times. They're dominant, had a fantastic year, but there's a couple of stinkers. Mm-hmm. I mean, a couple of games. Ugh, what in the world? Like, didn't they go to San Diego and just get beat up by the Chargers? The Niners, I've watched them. I've seen them in some really good games. I do think the games will be pretty good. I think there'll be a couple of stinkers. But what is your scale of interest? If I said on a scale of 1 to 10, of the four NFL games this weekend, what is your scale of interest on a scale of 1 to 10? And I'm going to tell you, like maybe tomorrow I'll relax a little bit and have a chance to just 1 to 10, mine's a 5. And I don't want it to be a 5. I want it to be like an 8 or a 9, but it's not. Maybe next week it changes. I don't know. Maybe it's the newness of Lamar Jackson in Baltimore. Like, I think they'll win easily. But maybe there'll be a couple. I saw some games in the last 4 to 6 weeks of the year that were playoff games. I mean, NFL late season stud games. On a scale of 1 to 10, I'm about a 5. Convince me I should be higher than that, or where are you? Are you about the same? Because there are kind of some unknowns. 254-662-1660, your calls, and the text line available brought to you by Bush's Chicken.
My house has a new glow. I love my windows. Universal Windows Direct.
Winter is here, and many of you realize it. It's time to replace those old, drafty windows. Call Universal Windows Direct of Central Texas and schedule an in-home consultation where you can discuss your specific window needs with an expert team member. Universal's exclusive Unishield windows are spaced using aerospace technology called Super Spacer and have a life expectancy 5 times that of other systems. And they offer 0% financing for 60 months. That's 0% financing for 60 months. Contact Universal Windows Direct of Central Texas for a free in-home estimate. UniversalWindowsCentralTexas.com. That's UniversalWindowsCentralTexas.com. 254-301-7760. And be sure to check out their great Google reviews.
I love my windows. They've got that brand new home effect. Universal Windows Direct.
Hi, this is Brad Sham. Stonewood Dental is your comfortable and remarkable home for a full spectrum of general dentistry starting at age 6 months. They feature a specialized treatment of TMJ pain known as bioesthetics, the highest degree of bite correction treatment that relieves patients of pain and gives them the smile of a lifetime. From simple fillings to full cosmetic reconstructions, Stonewood Dental also specializes in oral or IV sedation, implants, and wisdom teeth removal. They accept most insurance policies, including Medicaid and CHIP, at Stonewood Dental in Robinson.
Recently on You Make the Call.
Yeah, good afternoon, gentlemen. I just want to say, first of all, y'all, thank y'all for all the coverage y'all did there in New Orleans and everything else. It's a great job. I don't see how you could have done it any better. I'm always know everybody always kind of looks back and see maybe we could have done this or this, but I can't think of a thing. But I appreciate y'all doing that for everybody back here in Central Texas. But the main thing is my legacy deal for this team, heck, y'all, I mean, they're 2 years ahead of anything that I would have expected. I mean, I was hoping they'd be at this point where they're at right now, 2 years down the road. I mean, I thought maybe 7 wins, 8 wins would be really good. Anything above that was gravy on the steak, you know. So, I mean, you know, their legacy is they're way ahead of where they're at, and they're in a good place to, you know, maybe take another step. You know, even if they stay status quo, exactly what they did this year, that's still going to be a heck of a season, y'all.
You make the call on ESPN Central Texas.
If you have a business and you have a fleet of trucks and you need to spice them up, you need to get some accessories on those pickup trucks for your business. Ladder racks and heavy steel toolboxes, goosenecks, safety lights, backup alarms, seat covers, bumpers, grill guards, winches, and experienced techs to make sure the installation is flawless. And at Pickup Outfitters at 220 Lake Air Drive, createacommotion.com, the quality techs stand behind their famous lifetime installation guarantee and free warranty assistance. Call them and ask about setting up a commercial account. Get your work truck ready, loaded, and available from Pickup Outfitters. Jay Eric, the owner. Remember, you can always find the best when it comes to truck, SUV, and minivan accessories. Pickup Outfitters, createacommotion.com at 220 Lake Air Drive in Waco.
If you want the best wings and pizza in Central Texas with an energetic atmosphere, look no further than Wings Pizza and Things in Temple, a smoke-free family environment committed to serving fresh, made-to-order food. There are dozens of large-screen, high-definition TVs to watch everything in sports, including, of course, the NFL and college football. Wings Pizza and Things serves only top-quality, large wings with 16 flavors, including their new Rim Reaper. All sandwiches come with fries, tots, or side salad, and delicious New York-style pizza. Wings Pizza and Things, celebrating 13 years strong in the Temple Town Center on the Southwest Dodge and Loop in Temple.
In the U.S. Army, you have a whole world of opportunities. You'll get high-level training with the possibility to choose among one of the 150 career fields, like aviation, nursing, mechanics, computer networking, engineering, and many more STEM-related careers. All of these skill sets will help prepare you for a career in your civilian life. For more information, go to GoArmy.com or visit your local Army recruiting office.
When we moved to Texas, we were like fish out of water. We didn't know anyone in our neighborhood until our Texas Farm Bureau insurance agent came to the house. She was so helpful and reassuring, a friendly face with that Texan hospitality I'd heard about. When we purchased a Texas Farm Bureau insurance policy, we knew we were making the right choice. We knew our family would be protected.
Visit Texas Farm Bureau Insurance today at tfbinsurance.com to find an insurance agent who's a true neighbor. Coverage and discounts are subject to qualifications and policy terms and may vary by situation.
All right. 4:45 is the time. NFL playoffs this weekend. My excitement meter is just kind of there. Usually the NFL playoffs, it doesn't matter who's playing. There's a difference. I mean, there's a peak interest difference.
Yeah.
I don't seem to have that. And it's not because it's the NFL that games bother me, because they usually let them play even more during the postseason. So it's not that. It's not because, you know, my favorite team's not in the playoffs, because that happens about once every 8 years. It's not because Dallas isn't playing, because, you know, I mean, that's happened, you know, about half the time in the last 25 years. What do you think it is?
I don't know. I mean, there's been excitement, you know, that, like I said, if there's something new. Nobody really expected Baltimore to do what they're doing. Minnesota showed, I mean, that they're capable of making a win, especially they've already gone on the road once and, you know, won. So there's nothing stopping them from doing it again this week. I don't know. It's just that I think this whole sports weekend's kind of got like a weird cloud over it like that. Like, have you heard any excitement about the national championship game on Monday?
No, and I think that there's, for several reasons. One, that it's Monday, gets overshadowed by the entire weekend of the NFL. Mm-hmm. And I even said this with the semifinal games, because the games were on like December, what were they, like the 28th or whatever, and not attached to somewhere, either New Year's Eve or New Year's Day. And I don't mind the break. I get all that. But, man, they haven't played for 15. Now, I know that they didn't play that long between the last game or conference championship games and a bowl game. I get that. But to do it and then do it again, it's like, man. But they cannot compete head up with the NFL.
No.
And there are certain things that the networks already have commitments to. But, like, why wouldn't it be good to have that game tonight?
You should.
Or last night.
Kick the weekend off. That would probably get people amped up and, you know, wanting more football.
And I get the Monday night, you have kind of all your, there's no NFL games, but I have to remind myself at times that the game's played on Monday. I have to remind myself there's still a championship game. Now, yes, if you're an LSU like you are, Clemson fan, I mean, you're frothing at the mouth.
But essentially, it feels like the season's over.
It does. It does. And perhaps Monday evening, whatever. I just feel like it's lost something because of the delay. And now you're going to get wiped out by the NFL, even though to me the NFL playoff games are kind of a five on the interest meter. I don't know. Hey, Q had a chance to visit with an NFL draft analyst, Justin Reed.
Jordan Reed.
I was thinking about someone. Jordan Reed. Q is our guy when it comes to the NFL. All of us can dive in with the NFL with the best of them, I think. But Q is, like, when it comes to the NFL, this is who you go to. and he had a chance to visit with Jordan Reed, NFL draft analyst.
Joining me now on the phone lines to talk all things NFL draft is Jordan Reed. You can find him on Twitter at JReedNFL. He's a senior draft analyst for thedraftnetwork.com. And Jordan, it's draft season for the majority of the NFL and their fan bases. All but a handful of teams are focused on improving their team for next year. And, you know, I know you've been grinding. You've been grinding away. You put out mock draft 4.0, at least for the first round. What is the most, as far as you're looking at right now, when you look at the draft and who's coming out and who's going to be available, what is the most heavy position so far in this year's upcoming draft?
Well, I think it's a combination of a lot of things. I think it's a very strong receiver class. I think that's one area where you're going to see that's very constant in mock drafts, just because it's a really good receiver class. And you talk about at the top with guys like Alabama wide receiver Jerry Jeudy. He's a guy that's going to headline a lot of mock drafts, and also Oklahoma wide receiver CeeDee Lamb. And then also the second part of that Alabama duo was Henry Ruggs III. And those three guys really are going to be at the top of a lot of mock drafts, but it's also a very strong running back class. And that's not to say that a lot of those guys are going to be in the first round of a whole bunch of mock drafts, but you're going to start to see on day two in the early second round and even into the third round, a lot of those running backs start to come off the board. And then, of course, I would be remiss if I didn't mention the quarterbacks, just because those guys are always going to be pushed up the board just because of the importance of the position. Everybody knows the worst-kept secret in the draft right now is Joe Burrow going number one and projected to go number one to the Cincinnati Bengals. But it becomes a bit of a mystery after that. And I know Tua Tagovailoa recently declared for the draft, and all signs are pointing to him going in between pick number three and pick number five. I still think he's going to be a top-five pick, whether that's to Detroit at three or even if a team trades up to Detroit's pick in a Sam Darnold type of way the Jets did with the Colts a few years ago, or even if Miami is another team that could target him at five, or even the Chargers at six, and even the Panthers at seven. They could have some conversations about taking a quarterback as well. So it's really going to be interesting to see exactly where Tua goes. But then after that, you have guys like Justin Herbert, Jordan Love, Jay Fromm. He still hasn't declared yet. We're still waiting to see what he does. But Jalen Hurts is another name that could come up as well. So very strong quarterback, running back, and receiver classes, and also the cornerback class. This is a very strong group as well.
It sounds like it's going to be a fun draft. That's a lot of positions, yeah. Right there. Sounds like, that's a lot of positions. And you mentioned Tua and how he declared the other day. How does that affect the rest of the draft? Because you mentioned that guys can trade up and go get those quarterbacks, and you mentioned you rattled off a few of the names, but that means the big-time players, even maybe a Chase Young, who I expect to go number two to Washington, maybe he could be affected as well, where teams are trading up to go get these quarterbacks. That makes these better players fall.
Well, you can go ahead and put it in Sharpie. I think the first two teams and the first two picks are probably already set, with Joe Burrow going number one to the Bengals and then Chase Young going number two to the Redskins. But the draft really starts with the third overall pick, and we'll see what the Lions do. I know it's very early. It's only January. I don't think the Lions are going to take a quarterback just because of the situation that they're in right now. But with Matt Patricia and Bob Quinn entering a make-or-break year, they've already gotten the vote of confidence from the owner, Martha Ford, where she came out and said these guys are safe for 2020, but after that, it's really a mystery. So I don't think Detroit is going to take a quarterback, and I think Matt Stafford is going to come back fully healthy next year. So we could see them probably try to trade back, and maybe a team is trying to package some picks and trade up into that spot to get the quarterback that they're seeking. But the draft definitely starts with a third overall pick with the Detroit Lions.
You know, before this started, I told you today's been a crazy day, just with Matt Rhule leaving Baylor and headed to the Carolina Panthers. And, you know, congratulations to him. But one guy that may now leave Baylor because Matt Rhule is leaving is James Lynch. He's a junior. He was a Big 12 Defensive Player of the Year, 13.5 sacks for the season for Baylor. I would say there's two people that are most coveted in the league, quarterbacks and guys that can get after the quarterback. When it comes to James Lynch from Baylor, what are your thoughts on him?
Big fan of him, and I love what he showed. He's really developed, and he showed a lot of promise. And the first thing that stands out is his length, and you listed his measurables there. And I just love the way he's able to – he's very twitchy, and his first step really stands out a lot. And that's something that you like to see, especially in these high-end or projected high-end pass-rushing guys. You want to see how good their first step is, just because – offensive tackles are so good in the league, and you just can't get guys, or you can't just beat guys in the NFL off of your first step. You want to see how well diverse they are. Does he have a counter move? Is he able to use his hands well? And that's something that he does really good.
Talking to Jordan Reed right now, talking all things NFL draft. Jerry Jeudy, CeeDee Lamb, Henry Ruggs. Those are three wide receivers that you mentioned earlier. I think Jerry Jeudy is the best wide receiver in the class, but there's a chance that CeeDee Lamb will go first because of the fit with Arizona and Kyler Murray. Do you see Jerry Jeudy dropping a little bit more because of that fact?
Maybe so, but I still think the league probably values him a bit higher than maybe what they do CeeDee Lamb. But these receiver rankings, they're going to be all over the place. And this receiver class is so deep. It's not just the first day. We have the second-tier guys like, you know, Jalen Reagor, Laviska Shenault, K.J. Hamler, Michael Pittman Jr. The list goes on and on. Denzel Mims, who you're very familiar with down there at Baylor, who's probably going to be a day-two guy. So this receiver class is really deep, but just as far at the top, maybe we see CeeDee Lamb go 9 to the Cardinals, or 8, I should say, to the Cardinals. I think that would be a really good fit for him. But we could see Jerry Jeudy end up being a top-10 selection as well. And I think boards are going to be all over the place as far as how they have them ranked. But for me, when my new update comes out on Saturday, I'm going to have CeeDee Lamb as my top guy just because I like the more well-rounded skill set that he does bring to the table and how he's able to separate, not better than Jeudy, but I think he's a bit more reliable at the catch point than what Jeudy has shown. And I think he's a bit more polished as a route runner, and I think he brings a bit more upside as a true number one wide receiver as well.
You mentioned Denzel Mims from Baylor, and, you know, he chose to come back his senior year. I think that was a good decision. But what did you see from him that put him in that second-round guy as far as what you saw from him this past season?
Speed for days. That's the one thing that
speed kills.
Speed for days. That's something that you notice, and you're very familiar with him. Former track star in high school, straight line fast. I believe he's a 10-4 guy. I believe that's what he ran. Coming out of high school. So that just shows you the type of blazing speed that he has. But he's not just a speed guy. And I think that's the biggest step that he took in his development this year. He had a more well-rounded route tree, and that's something that you wanted to see. Just because guys that are just straight line fast, they don't really last a lot in the league, or long in the league, I should say, just because they come a bit stale and they're a one-trick pony. And that's something that Denzel Mims showed a lot of development in as far as from his junior year to his senior year. He showed that he can be a well-rounded wide receiver, and his route tree was much more diverse than what he showed in 2018 as opposed to 2019. So that's the big jump that he made this year.
Has it been talked about among league circles about just Matt Rhule? I mean, obviously he's going to the league now, but one of his things he always talked about around us was the fact that he wanted to prepare guys for the next level. Do evaluators kind of take a Matt Rhule coach guy and give him a little bit more credit because they know he's been coached up the right way?
Oh, absolutely. And the big thing about Rhule is that he's known as a culture changer. And it didn't just start at Baylor. It started at Temple.
Right.
Where he took over a program that really was in shambles. And then he remade that program in a matter of 2 to 3 years. And he did the same thing at Baylor. He took over a 1-11 team. And he ended up winning 11 games, I believe it was, this year. Mm-hmm. The most they had won since 2014, I believe it was. So he's known as a culture changer, but he does things the right way as well. And that's something that you notice about Rhule. He always talks about toughness. Now, the biggest adjustment that Rhule is going to have to make is that it's a bit different when you're recruiting these players and then you're able to really, I don't want to say brainwash them a little bit, but you're able to engulf them in your system and you can develop them. But in the NFL, it's about managing egos. So now you're walking in the door with, you know, Cam Newton and Luke Kuechly and guys of that nature that are already established. Now you have to get or find a way for them to believe, and I think that's the biggest adjustment.
That was your boy Q earlier this week with Jordan Reed. We'll be back with the 5 o'clock hour on You Might Call in just a second.
Congratulations to the Green and Gold for a great 2019 football season. InCommons Bank enjoys being part of the community here in Waco, and we are excited to see what the 2020 football season will bring on the Brazos. Our mission at InCommons Bank is to be the best community bank in Central Texas, and we are doing just that. Our locations include Mejia, Fairfield, Coolidge, Mart, Rosebud, and Waco. Stop by any of our branches or visit us online at InCommonsBank.com to find out more about us. Come see me, Regina, and go Green and Gold.
Member FDIC. Okay, so what's the most important part about your house? Nope, it's not that bar or the theater room with that sound system. Think about it. The most important thing is your roof. It has to withstand all that Mother Nature can throw your way, so it makes sense to have the best. McAdams & Sons Roofing is your first choice when it comes to protecting that valuable asset. Experienced professionals using only the best materials. So for new construction, re-roofs, repairs, or remodels, for composition and metal roofs, think McAdams & Sons Roofing first. And now McAdams & Sons Roofing is installing seamless gutters to give your home a bright new look and added value. McAdams & Sons Roofing will come out and take a look at your roof and handle all the insurance process for you. Don't let any fly-by-night company look at your roof. Let a real professional you trust do the work. Put McAdams & Sons over 40 years experience to work for you. Check it out at McAdamsRoofing.com. That's McAdamsRoofing.com. Or give them a call today at 254-799-2949. Because you don't want a kid with your house's lid.
Why drive an SUV like every other when you can drive a Cadillac? Improbably spacious, impressively stylish. The Cadillac XT4, the midsize XT5, and the 7-passenger XT6 offer the ideal size to fit your lifestyle. Get a gently used 2019 XT4 for only $33.9 or the midsize 2019 XT5 for just $42.9. Qualified buyers can get a new 2020 XT6 lease for just $4.99 a month. Experience Cadillac today at Richard Carr Cadillac. See dealer for details.
Hi, this is Bambi Eske from Alan Samuels House of Travel. When was the last time you experienced an adventure that took your breath away? Well, the time is now. Holland American Line and Alan Samuels House of Travel proudly present On Stage Alaska, an exhilarating live performance and stunning visual presentation. You'll discover all the great land has to offer. Towering mountains, ice age glaciers, abundant wildlife, dog sledding, gold panning, and so much more. All in the hands of Alaska's oldest and most respected cruise line company, Holland American Line. On Stage Alaska, here for a one-night presentation, Tuesday, January 14th at the Waco Hippodrome Theater. Doors will open at 6 p.m., presentation at 6:30. Don't miss this refreshingly different travel show or the opportunity for all the special bonus travel benefits that we will offer. On Stage Alaska. Call Alan Samuels House of Travel today for any questions and to RSVP. 254-776-2560, and we hope to see you there.
Boozer's is the wedding ring store and more. If you're ready to get engaged or already married and want to upgrade your wife's ring for a special anniversary, Boozer's is the place to go. With the largest selection of premier quality diamond engagement rings and wedding rings in Central Texas. They have 7 cases with over 300 styles of rings from top designers like Natalie Kay. Choose from yellow, white, or rose gold, plus beautiful top quality loose diamonds. With an in-house jewelry, they can also custom make anything you want. Bring in a picture or drawing and let Boozer's create your one-of-a-kind pendant or ring. They can even use some of your old gold and diamond jewelry to create something new. At Boozer's, you'll find a great selection of quality timepieces, and Boozer's is the place for expert watch maintenance and repairs, too. They specialize in expert Rolex watch repair using genuine Rolex parts. For fine jewelry, watches, custom work, and more, go to Boozer's on Valley Mills and Lake Air Drive in Waco.
KRZI Waco, K256BW Waco, ESPN Central Texas.
All right, here we go. This 5 o'clock hour. What a week it's been. Matt Rhule, Carolina, Baylor men's and women's basketball with quality wins on the road against really good people. And, man, could it be topped off with Baylor men going to Kansas tomorrow that you just don't win there, right? Well, there was a stat that I had that Baylor is 4-2 against UConn since, like, whatever year it was, 2012. And everyone else is, like, 11-350 against UConn. I was surprised they had 11 losses. 5:01, we start this 5 o'clock hour. There's a story today. Matt Rhule got, 7 years, $62 million, could be $70 million. This is from Steve DelVecchio for Larry Brown Sports. So Matt Rhule recently said he would only leave Baylor for the perfect opportunity. Obviously, Carolina created that perfect opportunity in David Tepper. Rhule signed a 7-year, $62 million deal, could be $70 with incentives. As one NFL coach told Robert Klemko of the Washington Post, other owners around the league are angry with David Tepper, Carolina owner, for shelling out so much money. Klemko on his Twitter feed said an NFC South coach on Carolina's 7-year, $60 million contract with the first-time NFL coach Matt Rhule, Tepper just drove the price of pork up, and I know the owners are pissed. They're going to hurt him at the next league meetings. They might just shut him out of the room.
I wouldn't doubt it. I mean, that's pretty similar to like baseball, what you've seen with A-Rod's contract. And that set the bar high. And you have Rhule he's going into uncharted territory. So you have a next coach that comes available who is established. I mean, they're going to want to at least match that. They're going to want more.
I think maybe Sean Payton, Bill Belichick. I'm not sure exactly about contracts in the NFL. There aren't many that can match the contract that Matt Rhule got with Carolina, and still some of you are You know, I see where you're, you know, there's still some of you. By the way, the sun came up, although not today because it's been nasty all day. But another day on the calendar did open. Like, we woke up today, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a good thing. At my age, that's even better. But I could see, but I don't know why another coach, Tepper, just drove up the price of pork. And to me, that's a great thing for coaches. Now, is this a one-time exception because Carolina had to act? They had to come up with a perfect offer for Rule? Or is this something that now starts to jack up the coaching salaries like we see in college football?
I think they could have had a perfect offer with the least amount of money. I mean, they had everything set in place as far as what he wanted with the analytics and the sports science, but they didn't necessarily have to. I think that Tepper just felt like he was being a maverick in a sense, you know, going out there and setting the bar high, just saying, because he can. And I don't think he really expected the backlash or thought about the backlash from it.
And he didn't seem to put any unnecessary or undue expectations mm-hmm. on Matt in Carolina. By the way, Matt Rhule, I had somebody send me, a couple of you sent me, you know, you had this great relationship with Rhule. We had a very good working relationship. I could text him at any time, and I'd always get an answer. He couldn't answer everything.
Mm-hmm.
He gave me that time on Mondays that sometimes was as much as 15 to 20 minutes, and I always appreciated that. He didn't have to do that at all. He surely didn't have to give me any time for the one-on-one the day that Carolina announced he was leaving. He didn't have to give us the time on the Monday at the Sugar Bowl, when the speculation started to rise that NFL teams were interested in him again. And here we go again. But I just sent him a text like 30 minutes ago about something with a former Carolina player trying to get a hold of him. Just like that. Responded. And I'll tell you this. Now, I know some of you are bitter and you don't care about anything. Like, I hear Mosley say he doesn't want to hear, well, he doesn't care about what Matt Rhule thinks about the next coach. Listen, I'm sure Matt Rhule and Mac Rhodes discussed, if in fact he leaves, who might be the best man, at least on staff. Here are the positives of each of these guys on staff to become the next head coach. But I get it. He's out the door. You say he used you? You damn used him. For Baylor fans who say Matt Rhule used them because he was always asking about talking about the process and unfinished business, you used him too to get you out of a damn dumpster fire. And he did. You both used each other. You ever thought about that? For those of you who are sitting there going, Matt Rhule, man, he didn't have any loyalty. If Matt Rhule had got 1-11, 4-8, 5-7, you would have kicked his ass out of Waco. Even with what he was dealing with. Don't give me that. That's the dumbest thing I've heard all week long. That's not even dumb. That's dumber than dumb. Like Dumb and Dumber. Seriously, I've kind of just like held back on a lot of things I've thought about when I saw the reaction. I get the frustration. I even get bitterness. But anger or hatred? How about some of you, and I said this before, some idiots that sent like hateful email to him on the night of the game against Georgia, the night after the loss. Matt Rhule, if he used Baylor to get the job in Carolina, Baylor used him too. That doesn't mean they didn't love him. That doesn't mean they didn't take care of him. That doesn't mean the fan base didn't love him. That doesn't mean the fan base didn't love him or want to keep him. But you know what? You used him too. Would I like to see him stay around? I absolutely thought he would one more year. And then I thought, okay, now, no. One more year. It's not one more year. It's not even another day. But this is part of the business, man. Not even the money part. Not even moving on part. You could not have done more than what he did in 3 years at Baylor. And whoever takes over, whether it's coach X, Y, and Z from a school you'd never heard of, or a coach you never really knew much about, like Matt Rhule, or Joey McGuire, or whoever else on staff, set them up. Well, what was that Jordan Williams told us yesterday? It's all set for success.
Yeah. He reestablished the foundation and set it in place. The process is still ongoing.
Exactly.
It didn't end.
The process doesn't end. Now, somebody else might come in here with, you know, you might have some guy come in here and just completely wipe all that out. Now, I think that would be damaging. because I think the last thing that Baylor needs is someone who's going to be a short-term fix, even with what they have returning, with all the weapons they have coming back and some others. Yeah, they're still going to lose. I don't expect 11-3. I don't expect them playing for the Big 12 championship. But, damn, I didn't expect them playing for the Big 12 championship this year. Imagine if Rule would have stayed one more year and gone 11-3, and somehow that's a step back. So there's an opportunity of a lifetime. And he took it. And some of you think he was not faithful. He was not loyal. He did everything you could ever have imagined for a coach to come in and do in his 3 years. Were there things that you thought he said or he did say that you took as if he was staying? Guess whose fault that is? Yours, not his.
I don't understand how anybody could think he was, because he was open consistently.
He made it very clear. Of his interest in the National Football League. When you're 1-11, you get a chance to talk to the general manager of the Colts. My God, what's going to happen when you go 11-3? All right, now, Zach Gelb, our good buddy, does a show for CBS Sports Radio. He was interviewing former San Francisco Giants, and I think Carolina Panthers defensive back Eric Davis, who has, this is kind of a friend of a friend, but this is very intriguing about Tom Brady.
What do you think's going to happen with Tom? Is Tom back with the Pats next year?
I don't think so, and this is why. I'm not going to throw names out there or anything, but there is someone that I am friendly with. And we've been friends for quite some time, for years, decades. And he's friends with the Crafts. He's friends with Tom. They travel together, all sorts of things. So I know I'm narrowing down the field. But Tom made a comment to this person this past offseason. Before the beginning of the season, he talked to him about starting to think about retirement. And when you start to think about retiring, I know it as a player. I played 13 years. I know that when you start thinking about retiring, especially when you are an athlete like Tom, when you are that guy with that mindset that's driving and the focus is on constantly improving and bringing up your players, and there have been years we've seen him carry the team, and he's had this singular focus about eating a certain way and taking care of his mind a certain way and body a certain way and everything that he's been doing. When you start talking about retiring, the body's going to follow. When the brain starts thinking about it, the body will follow, and you've already retired. So I said early on, I thought this was going to be Tom's last year.
That's interesting, because he's given zero indication publicly that he's going to retire. And after the game on Saturday, he said it's unlikely he's going to retire. That's why that perspective is fascinating to me.
Yeah. Well, and he may not. He may not. But
who are you talking to, Alex Guerrero?
No. But all I know is that he told someone that he was thinking about retiring.
Wow.
And which to me means. It's coming. It may not be this season, he's there. And what it's going to do, as I said, the body's going to follow the brain. Athletes, high-end athletes, we don't train our body. We train our brain. The body's going to follow. We train our brains. So if you tell your brain that if the brain starts saying, I'm shutting this down soon, the body's going to shut it down. And you won't see the same performances. You won't see guys doing the same things. You won't see the uplifting. And I think some of that, no knock on Tom, but I think some of that came, you saw it this year. Because we've seen Tom have seasons where everyone say, well, he doesn't have a running game, or he doesn't have receivers, or he doesn't do this. And still, he beats everyone. It was a little tougher this year, even with the number one defense.
I got a minute left for Eric Davis. Last one for you. So if he does return, do you think it will be New England?
Is Belichick still there?
Yes.
If Belichick is still there, I think it'll be. I think it's New England. I really do. I thought for a long time they may walk away together.
Eric Davis, Super Bowl defensive back, 49ers. On with our buddy Zach Gelb on CBS Sports about a little Tom Brady note. When we come back, Sanjay Law, wide receivers coach, former Cowboys wide receivers coach, who was a part of the Matt Mosley show earlier this week. We'll have him, and then we'll talk college football at every level, from coaching changes and changes of staff around the Big 12 to Mike Leach at Mississippi State to the national championship game to the transfer portal. He'll join us, Adam Rittenberg, at 5:30. This is ESPN Central Texas.
Don Humidor has among the best top-rated cigars, not in the country, but the world, inside their 48-foot walk-in humidor. Rocky Patel, Padron, Ashton, Monte Cristo, Romeo and Julieta, Artur Fuente. If you want a cigar, no matter if it's harsh or something light, Churchill length or smaller, Don Humidor is where you go. And as for Carol and Ashley, two ladies that will greet you with a smile and great intelligence and knowledge in the cigar business. Don Humidor, in the Townwood Shopping Center off Valley Mills in Waco.
J.D. Power has honored Texas Farm Bureau Insurance for 8 consecutive years for the highest customer satisfaction with auto insurers in Texas. Texas Farm Bureau Insurance, protecting Texans since 1952.
We're fighting hard at Pickup Outfitters in our battle to end truck nudity. But it's not just about putting an outfit on a naked truck. It's about making sure you have the very best customer service. So we offer the Pickup Outfitters Lifetime Installation Guarantee. Over time, sometimes your outfit needs a little tune-up, maybe some tightening, adjusting, whatever. If you outfitted your truck at Pickup Outfitters, that tune-up is absolutely no charge for the remainder of the time you own that truck. We also offer free warranty assistance. If for any reason you need to use your warranty, you just bring it back to us and we take care of it. It just makes sense. I mean, operating without a promise like that would be like offering customer service in the nude. And if you've seen our staff, trust me, you don't want that. So do your part to end truck nudity by outfitting your truck, Jeep, SUV, or van at Pickup Outfitters. 220 Lake Erie Drive in Waco, where we promise to serve you fully clothed. Check out our website, createacommotion.com.
Hi, this is Bambi Eskew from Alan Samuels House of Travel. When was the last time you experienced an adventure that took your breath away? Well, the time is now. Holland American Line and Alan Samuels House of Travel proudly present Onstage Alaska, an exhilarating live performance and stunning visual presentation. You'll discover all the great land has to offer. Towering mountains, ice age glaciers, abundant wildlife, dog sledding, gold panning, and so much more. All in the hands of Alaska's oldest and most respected cruise line company, Holland American Line. Onstage Alaska, here for a one-night presentation Tuesday, January 14th at the Waco Hippodrome Theater. Doors will open at 6 p.m., presentation at 6:30. Don't miss this refreshingly different travel show or the opportunity for all the special bonus travel benefits that we will offer. Onstage Alaska, call Alan Samuels House of Travel today for any questions and to RSVP. 254-776-2560, and we hope to see you there.
It's Matt Mosley Show, brought to you by Jim Turner Chevrolet of McGregor, the official Chevy dealer of Baylor Athletics, your Central Texas Chevy truck headquarters. Visit us online at turnerchevy.com. For the best deal on your new Chevrolet, stop by and see the all-new 2019 Silverado 1500 today.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Craig Smoke with an ESPN Central Texas Sports Center update. Save big bucks on storage sheds, lawn furniture, and more right now at Lone Star Structures in Lawton Temple. Learn more at LoneStarStructures.com. Number 4 Baylor men's basketball hits the road this weekend for a huge showdown with number 3 Kansas, and head coach Scott Drew talked about what he expects in this matchup.
Well, I think if you look across college basketball, it's first to 60 wins, it looks like nowadays, but both of us have two top 10 defenses, and I don't think points will be easy, and that's why the more you can get in transition, we got to take care of the basketball. We can't have 20 turnovers. Overs and went up there, so hopefully we'll do a better job with that. But second chance points in transition will be huge for both teams.
Well, that pregame starting at 11:30 Saturday right here on ESPN Central Texas. Sunday, number 6 Lady Bears play host to Oklahoma State. We'll have cover starting at 12:30 Sunday right here on ESPN Central Texas.
Sports Center every 20 minutes, only on ESPN Central Texas.
All right, this is on the text line. From Emmanuel, Smokey Baylor, Baylor Nation, Mac Rhodes, the fans. I was at the OU game, the Iowa State game, and we are grateful to him. At least I am. I understand. It's not that Baylor didn't take care of him. They absolutely did. The contract extension, the money they gave him at the beginning to get him here. But he didn't jilt Baylor. He didn't use Baylor. That's silly. He did more in 3 years than the guy who maybe walks on water could have done. And, of course, yes, I'm tongue-in-cheek about that, right? I'm not comparing him to Jesus Christ. I'm just saying is that no one on earth could have expected what Matt Rhule did for Baylor football when he arrived in December of 2016. And I'd say, I'm going to guess that 98% of you didn't know how to spell his last name. And of that 98%, I bet there were probably about 80% of you didn't know who he was. I didn't know much about him until that week either. I'll be honest. Paul, good afternoon. Thanks for your time on ESPN Central Texas.
Yeah, thank you, Smokey. I called to say give it a rest. You know, every time I turn this radio on, all I'm hearing from you guys is, well, those idiots out there who are bitter at Rhule, I don't hear that from anybody but you guys. Give it a rest, man.
Paul, do you get the text line that I get?
No, I don't, but neither does anybody else.
Well, that's why I'm reading the text. That's why I'm reading the text and responding. I'm not responding to Paul. I'm not saying, when I say that, I'm not talking to 48,000 Baylor fans. I don't know why you're taking.
That's all I hear, Smokey.
Well, that's not true. It's the first time I've been on the air for 3 hours.
Most Baylor fans are grateful as can be.
They should be.
And recognize completely what he's done.
I've been on the air for 2 hours and 19 minutes. It's the first time I brought it up. You just happened to be listening to the 2 minutes when I brought it up.
I listen every day.
I'm responding. Okay, Paul, I will sit down with you and go over every freaking minute of this show for the last 4 days, and you tell me how many minutes I've brought it up.
Well, you're not the only one that does it.
I can't speak for everybody else. You're not the one that gets the tweets, who gets the text on my phone, who has the access of getting from people. I'm only responding. I don't just all of a sudden out of nowhere just come on and want to get on a pulpit. I'm responding to people who are telling me how they feel. I'm not saying it's you. After this week,
but I think I think the picture is skewed because you overemphasize it. I think that these people wouldn't even have a form if you didn't give it to them.
What the hell's my job?
Well, it's just to listen, really, to talk about sports, but I guess to give a fair picture. I don't think we're getting a fair picture.
Are you kidding me? We've taken dozens and dozens of calls of positive throughout the week. Dozens of them. I've read 50 text messages and tweets from people about how much they love Matt Rhule.
You've been hammering Baylor fans, and so have the guys in the morning. Idiots. Boy, those idiots out there. I don't know those idiots, and I don't want to hear about them all the time.
Okay, Paul, I'm sorry you don't want to listen to the show. Because I'm not responding to you. I'm responding to those who are texting the show. Do you only want – okay, do you want me to be Fox News or CNN and only report what they want to report, or do you want me to report both sides?
I'd like you to report both sides.
Then don't tell me to be one-sided. I will never be one-sided. In my lifetime, you've listened to this show long enough, you know you're going to get it from both ends. But I get what you're saying. Yeah. 99% of most Baylor fans are thrilled with what Matt Rhule did in 3 years. In fact, that's what I said. But when someone calls up or texts and says something negative, yes, I'm gonna blast them because it's stupid.
I haven't been hearing anybody call up and be all that negative. Really, have you?
Maybe you don't understand how talk radio works anymore. You called up and thank God you did, and I took your call. Right? There's a lot of people that do talk radio that won't even take your call. I will. I'll never not take a call. I have a co-host that doesn't like calls. I take calls all the time. If I get them, I take 50 of them in a row. But I'm also telling you, talk radio is no longer just phone calls, Paul. Talk radio is Twitter. Yeah. Talk radio is text line. Talk radio. My phone number is very accessible for people. I've never been afraid to give it out. And I get emails, too. So every one of those combined is an audience. You know what I mean? And no, you're right. 98% or whatever are thrilled and thankful for Matt Rhule. And I'm not a Baylor fan, but you're right. But when I go after somebody, it's when the one, two, or three people a day come in and want to pop off and think that he jilted them or he was unloyal. It's stupid. So you don't have to listen to that part. I appreciate your call. And I'm listening to you too, by the way. I am. I appreciate you saying you think that's all I've talked about. It's because when you see me get to another level of passion, it's because I'm pissed off at people when they want to sit there and try to like downgrade Matt Rhule, what he did for 3 years. No, I'm going to go after it. Walt, call back. Walt, call right back before we take the break, because we're going to have a national writer on in Adam Rittenberg from ESPN. I'm going to get more passionate about those who are like blind or stick their head in the sand than someone who calls up and says, "Hey, thanks to Matt Rhule." I agree with you. Walt, good afternoon. Thanks for your time on ESPN Central Texas.
Hey, Smoke. I just want to say, one, I think you're being generous when you say 98%, because like Paul that was just on the phone, you guys don't wear it out. But, man, it's worn me out listening to all these people just talk bad about Matt Rhule and call him a liar and say he said he was staying and all this other stuff. I never heard the man say he was staying. I've been listening to the radio and reading the news waiting to hear Matt Rhule was going to stay. Not that he was going to leave, because I assumed he was leaving. And just all this conversation of people that feel like that they've been misled because he said that he was going to stay. And I hate to do this comparison because it's a Baptist school, but it reminds me of two different denominations reading the exact same scripture and getting two different things from it, because that's what I hear from these people when I hear them say Matt Rhule misled them.
Hey, thanks, Walt, for giving your perspective as well. Paul, I appreciate your perspective, both of you. But Paul, you just heard Walt, not me, Walt bring it up, that he's sick and tired of hearing some of the negative about what people have said about Matt Rhule. My job is not to influence you. My job is to try to give everybody a chance to have a voice. And then, yes, have my own opinion and create whatever we can. In fact, on the text line, remember, who was it I just mentioned? Was it Emmanuel? Who's the one that called in, or not called in, but had tech? One of the things you have to understand, it's not just calls anymore. We've gone into the world where there's more than typewriters and 8-track. And that's not, I'm not being flippant there. I'm being serious. Listen, if anyone's had to learn that, it's this 60-year-old man. A tweet, text line. I am on Twitter. People are sometimes go, "Smokey, why do you get so caught up in them on Twitter?" You know why? I don't know why. You know why? I have always been accessible through dumb comments and through maybe award-winning coverage. I've always been accessible. And there was a guy the other day. Listen to this. I'll tell you, and we'll go to Rick. I have to share this story. So a guy the other day, I forgot what he was. He was mad about Matt Rhule. Very angry. Again, I'm sorry, Paul, but yeah, this is another guy mad about Matt Rhule. So I responded to him. And this guy responds to me. The interview I did with Matt Rhule, Paul was with me, was on December 30th. What is today, Garrett?
The 10th.
Okay. So on December 30th, on Monday, in New Orleans at the team hotel in the lobby hallway area, Matt Rhule sits down with us in New Orleans. And we have him on for 13 or 14 minutes. And a lot of it's about the NFL. And he sat down with us. He didn't have to. And we, you know, I kind of thought he would, because he's always given me that time. And so he sits down and he answers questions. He never promised you anything. He never promised anybody. And he kind of went over the process of what he was going through. And oh, by the way, I had someone on Twitter 2 nights ago tell me that all I've ever done with Matt Rhule was lob softball questions at him. And then he directly went back to the December 30th interview that I lobbed softball questions at Matt Rhule. I'm the guy, and I'm not, believe me, I am not, interviewing is something I just happened to do. I asked him one day if he was tough enough to finish the job at Baylor after they lost to TCU the weekend before, and that's a softball question. And I'm going to respond to him. Like everyone's, don't respond to him. No, I have to. I have to respond to stupid too. I mean, and I'm, by the way, I had an 18 on my ACT. I'm not the smartest brick in the wall. I didn't get offers from very many schools coming out of high school. So I'm not like, it's not like my elevator shaft goes very tall or very high. But, I mean, that I lob softball questions to Matt Rhule. And so I have to respond to that because it's my DNA. Even though my father taught me, God rest his soul, forever and ever, do not give attention to somebody who means nothing to you. because all you're doing is fueling them. I can't help it. I'm an idiot. I am. All right, who do we have?
Rick.
Rick, good afternoon. Thanks for your call at ESPN Central Texas.
Thanks for taking me. I think if you're going to – I think we got to acknowledge two things with Matt Rhule. I think the first thing is if any of us in our careers had the ability to advance to a more prestigious position, to ensure a better future for our family, to be able to have more control over our work environment, we take that every day of the week, you know, with very few exceptions. I think most of us would be willing to do that for our families, for our careers. You know, that's why we work hard in what we do. And at the same time, we look at Matt Rhule, and it's hard to not say that, you know, the whole concept behind moving to Baylor was to springboard into the NFL. And that's okay. That's okay. We're never – you're never going to have peace about this situation if you get hung up. I know it's hard for me in sports. Always gets on to me. I get too hung up on these things. I can't explain it. I can't. But I do. And, you know, you'll never have peace with these situations until you understand that, you know, this is a person making a decision for his family. But we were both benefited from it. And if you get the idea that, you know, it's okay, he might have used us for a springboard, and we were a holy wreck 3 years ago. And we're a lot better off now. I'm concerned about our future. Hopefully we get a coach that comes in and makes things, keep on
Rick, I lost you. We got the gist of what you're saying. Thanks for your time. Kyle Starnes, who sent me a direct message on Twitter, that he thinks that Matt Rhule's legacy is the one that allows Kyle Starnes, wherever he goes, to be proud of the fact that he can say he's from Baylor or worked at Baylor or works at Baylor, where there was a time when that kind of was tough, even if you're proud of your alma mater. And, Paul, you listen a lot. I'm telling you, there are more people out there than you think that are blasting him for the move to Carolina, questioning his loyalty. Now, at the same time, by bringing it up, yeah, the scar gets peeled back again, whatever it is. Mack Rhule's going to try to heal that scar, whoever it might be. Joey McGuire, some coach you never heard of. But I'll tell you this. There's going to be, remember how long it took, and even to this day, there are some that still aren't ready to drop what happened with Art Briles. And that's phenomenal loyalty. And there's some that just, they're never going to, but even some of them started to become Baylor fans again when Baylor started winning. Winning cures everything. But I can never. And I'm not even a Baylor alum. I cannot ever imagine. Frustration he left, disappointed, yes. Not jilted or bitter. That what he did in 3 years here was almost as if he came in and rebuilt everything. And he didn't do it in a way that it could fall apart tomorrow, even when he left. Because it fell apart when Art Briles was forced out the door. They 6-0 to 6-6. A disastrous, darkest cloud ever you could imagine over that throughout that season. They win the game against Boise State, and then what happened? I mean, it was like someone had come in with a bunch of F-14s and just bombed Baylor football. When we come back, Adam Rittenberg, we'll talk to him about that. ESPN college football writer at ESPN Central Texas.
This is the Baylor Sports Beat, a daily look inside Baylor athletics. Now, here's the voice of the Bears, John Morris.
Everybody, it's time for a check of Baylor Athletics on today's Baylor Sports Beat. Coming up, how about those Lady Bears, number 6 in the nation, but knocking off top-ranked and previously undefeated UConn on the road. Complete details straight ahead on today's Baylor Sports Beat.
There's only one Motor Trend Truck of the Year. It's Ram from Alan Samuels. Ram, back-to-back Motor Trend Truck of the Year for 2019 and 2020. Now, kick off the new year with remarkable savings on new Rams during the Alan Samuels Start Something New sales event. This special 2020 New Year's event is underway right now, and you can save thousands on new Rams. Ram, for your family, farm, or business, at Waco's most trusted dealer, Alan Samuels. Alan Samuels Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Fiat, your friend in the car business.
To win in sports, you must focus on your strategy as the game changes. The same is true of investments. This is Chuck Renaud, your Edward Jones Financial Advisor, and I can help. Call me at 254-751-9613 or visit me at 1000 West Highway 6, Suite 340 in Waco. Edward Jones, making sense of investing, member SIPC.
Whatever you're into, the 2020 Toyota RAV4 is the perfect vehicle to get you there. Into hiking?
Actually, I am.
How about horseback riding?
Yeah.
How about competitive yodeling? The RAV4 will get you there. And you can use the hands-free liftgate to put that oversized yodeling trophy in the trunk. The versatile 2020 RAV4. Visit your local Toyota dealer or go to buyatoyota.com to find a great deal on the new 2020 RAV4. Toyota, let's go places. See packages and options at toyota.com for future availability.
Now, here again is the voice, John Morris.
2 seconds, 1 second, and there you go. The Baylor Lady Bears have upset the number one-ranked UConn Huskies on their home floor, ending that 98-game home winning streak. Our final score in Hartford, 74-58. What a fourth quarter for Kim Mulkey's team.
That's the way it sounded last night from Hartford, Connecticut. Bruce Geetson, Maggie Davis, Stinnett with the call. Courtesy of the Baylor Sports Network from Learfield, IMG College. As sixth-ranked Baylor handed top-ranked UConn their first loss of the season. A tight game turned into a runaway in the fourth quarter as Baylor went on a 15-0 run in the fourth period, outscored UConn 19-6 in the final stanza to end UConn's 98-game home court winning streak, 74-58 the final score. After the game, Lady Bears head coach Kim Mulkey.
It's always good to win, but it's even better to win on the road. As I told you before the game, this game isn't going to make or break our season. We've got more important games ahead, but it was a great environment playing against a storied program like Connecticut, and winning makes that four-hour flight go a little bit faster.
Lady Bears led by Taya Cooper for the second consecutive game. She had 27 on the night. Nalissa Smith with a double-double, 20 points and 12 rebounds. Lauren Cox, a season-high 16 points to go with 6 rebounds, 4 blocks, and 4 assists. The Lady Bears now 12-1 on the season. They'll be back home and back in Big 12 play Sunday at 1, hosting the Cowgirls of Oklahoma State. And Scott Drew and the fourth-ranked Baylor men headed on the road to Lawrence, Kansas to play number 3 KU tomorrow. It's a noon tip-off in Allen Fieldhouse for the Bears and the Jayhawks. And that's today's Baylor Sports Beat. Talk to you tomorrow from Lawrence and have more Monday. I'm John Morris.
A championship decision in business is partnering with Sean Hunt and UBO Business Services. With their 94% first-time fix rate, they leave their copier service competitors in the dust. Call Sean today at 772-1600, UBO Business Services.
Man, I appreciate all of the feedback we just had in a segment about Matt Rhule, Baylor leaving Carolina, and what's next. Adam Rittenberg, national writer, ESPN.com. He covers college football in many, many ways. So many things to get to. And Adam, thank you very much for responding as early, quickly as you did. And thanks for coming on after such late notice. When Matt Rhule left for Carolina, Mac Rhodes is like a stealth bomber when it comes to his interview process. Have you heard any other, like anything at all that you've heard about what's going on as far as those interviewed? I know Joey McGuire obviously is someone that a lot of people have a lot of support for here in Waco.
Yeah, I've heard McGuire's name for weeks, as I'm sure you have, as someone, like you said, very popular among the players and those around the program, certainly the high school coaches in the state of Texas. I think Billy Napier is certainly a candidate for the Baylor job. I think he didn't want Mississippi State in part because he saw Baylor as a opportunity with the likelihood of Matt Rhule leaving to the NFL. Blake Anderson, this has always been his dream job, played at Baylor, has wanted this job for a long time, and maybe this is the right time. I know that Mac Rhodes has talked to Sonny Dykes for other other vacancies in the past. I'm sure there'll be conversations. I don't know how strong they'll get. Name I did hear today, and I've been able to verify this, but Justin Fuente's name has been out there a little bit, and that obviously would be a big name for this job. He's at a good job right now, but he also has some roots in that part of the world, in the Big 12 in Oklahoma, so it would certainly be a name that would rock the college football world a little bit.
Adam, how important do you think it is for Baylor? And I mean, I have my own opinion on this, and a lot of people here at our staff, we got a big staff, a lot of local shows, but in your opinion, that's why I wanted to have you on, how important do you think it is for Baylor after they went through the transition of Briles and Grobe, and then Matt Rhule did whatever he could do more than anyone could have ever imagined, but he's gone in 3 years, for them to have someone that brings stability long term?
It's critical. That's what Matt Rhule started to do, and you don't want to go the other direction. You have momentum now. You're out from under the cloud of what happened at the end of the Briles tenure, and I know there's still some things to be worked out. But I think that should be a huge priority for Mac Rhodes and the others that are doing Baylor's search. Doesn't mean you have to give the job to Joey McGuire, but I think it does enhance his chances that the program's not in a and you want to continue. You don't want to backslide. That's always a risk. Anytime there's a coaching change, you don't know which direction you're going to go. And Baylor certainly wants to be going in the direction that that Matt Rhule started. I heard him on your show a few days ago. Mm-hmm. He felt that Baylor was not on equal footing with Georgia now, but wait for 2 years. So you want to get to that place. You don't want to go backward to 1-11 or where they were a couple of years ago, because that's certainly not anywhere Baylor wants to be.
How do athletic directors, and in this case, Mac Rhodes, who's made other hires that have been successful elsewhere, but how difficult is it for an AD to kind of tune out the chatter or the noise or the popularity of somebody who was even on staff? Mac knows how popular Joey McGuire is because he's there all the time. He knows the players. He's in the locker room on occasion as well. How difficult is it to tune that out and go try to make the right hire, not the most popular hire, which could be both?
Well, it's tough because there's a lot of talk and there's social media and there's players that are going on Twitter advocating for Joey McGuire as they have the right to do. And sometimes it is the right move. Look at the coaches that are part of the college football playoff. They were mm-hmm. all promoted from within the staff. Look at the coach that won the Rose Bowl, promoted from within the staff at Oregon. And that doesn't always work out, but it does work out sometimes. Macros, I think it would be a bigger issue, David, if he was a young AD making his first head coaching hire. He's done this several times before. He's thought outside the box. He's gone with a more familiar name like a Barry Odom at Missouri. He's made some different types of hires. So I don't think that would impact him as much as if he were a 33-year-old first-time AD at a Power 5.
I think it's an obvious answer, but I always have said if you don't know the answer, it's not a bad question. The question I have for you is how much do you feel or hear through the grapevine that there's more interest in Baylor now after what Rhule has done compared to 3 years ago when he was taking over for what obviously was a dumpster fire?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that was it was amazing that they ended up with Matt Rhule in that search, because that the job was in a much different position, as was not as desirable as it is now. Now, it would be much more interesting if this search was taking place on December 9th or 10th rather than January 10th, because a lot of coaches have either new contracts or they've made their moves. They don't want to make a move that may be interested in this job otherwise. So I don't think we're getting the full level of interest, but is it a better job? Absolutely. And it was, and it certainly, I think, will generate some good interest. And those candidates I mentioned are all good options for Baylor.
All right, Adam, is the national championship game getting enough hype? It's about to be buffered with the full weekend of the NFL playoffs. It's been a long time since they played. I know on Monday night it'll be the only thing there, but is it? Do you feel like it's kind of been lost in the shuffle?
Yeah, it would have been better to have been played last week, and obviously there's some reasons for that with the scheduling changing with the playoff going off New Year's Eve. So it has been a long time. I do think it would be a bigger game if it was Ohio State. Ohio State's just a bigger brand than Clemson. That's not a knock against Clemson. They've won two of the last three national championships. But you know, all the talk that ESPN wanted the Clemson-LSU game for ratings, that's not true. Ohio State would have rated much better than Clemson, I think, especially with Joe Burrow going against his former team. But there is, I think, a good amount of hype, and I think when we get to Monday, it's going to be exciting to see a team that hasn't lost for 29 consecutive games, a quarterback that's not lost at the college level in Trevor Lawrence going against the Heisman Trophy winner in LSU's backyard. It's trying to complete a dream season under Ed Orgeron, the native son of Louisiana. So there's a lot around that game to get excited about. I think we're going to get there on Monday.
I don't know who put this up, but I saw someone who put a quote out when Mike Leach took the job at Mississippi State that he just jumped in the deep end of the pool. Your thoughts about Mike Leach, who you know, my God, he and Lane Kiffin right in the same state. Two rivals. What's that going to be? How much fun will that be?
I think it'll be fun. I mean, those two schools hate each other, but I know the two coaches don't. They even Lane was having fun, saying Leach is a better coach than he is. And I mean, I think it's going to be a fun back and forth just between the two head coaches. For Mike Leach, again, you look at the type of job that he's taken over the course of his career. Places like Lubbock, Texas, Pullman, Washington, now Starkville, Mississippi, teams that are in Power 5 conferences but maybe don't have the history or the brand or the resources that some of their competitors do, and he's been able to elevate them. So how much can he elevate Mississippi State? What are the realistic expectations? Can he get it back to where Dan Mullen had it for many years there in Starkville? I don't think he's going to be beating LSU and Alabama every year, but it's going to be fun to see how his system works in that part of college football. I think the most interesting thing, David, can he recruit in the SEC? Is that going to be maybe the biggest adjustment? Mike Leach hasn't really been part of that SEC-style recruiting, especially in a state in Mississippi that doesn't generate as much Division I talent as its neighbors like Louisiana, Texas, Alabama, Georgia, certainly. So how do you put together a team that he can win with? He's always been able to do that at jobs like this, but he hasn't done it in the SEC West.
Okay, Adam Rittenberg again with ESPN.com with us on ESPN Central Texas. I just went blank. I just absolutely went blank. The transfer portal, because you're loaded, your timeline, if anyone wants to know what's going on with coaches, transfer, anything else, college football, go to yours. But the transfer portal, is it now just completely out of control, or is there any way they can go back and change it, or is it lost?
Oh, yeah. I mean, they're not going to change it. Is it out of control? It depends on how you look at it. I mean, players certainly have more freedom now than they ever did. It's harder for coaches to know who they have on their rosters. And there's some weird trends. Why does Stanford have 14 or 15 players in the transfer portal? It's one of the most stable programs in the country. It's one of the greatest degrees you can have in this country if you graduate from Stanford. So it's interesting just to see those. I mean, the quarterback thing was going to happen. Your quarterbacks are going to move around in this day and age because they invest too much, the parents and the kids, at the high school and even earlier than that levels to get to this point. If they're not playing, they're going to go find somewhere where they can play. That's just the reality. Now, the number of overall players in the portal, certainly it's high. I know I've talked to Gary Patterson and other coaches who don't like it, but I don't see it going the other direction.
Todd Orlando to Texas Tech, how much of an impact will he have? I know that Matt Rhule respected the hell out of him. In fact, he was glad. He thought when Orlando was leaving, of course, he's gone too. But Todd Orlando to Texas Tech.
Yeah, Todd's a very aggressive coach, very creative coach. I think will help shape that identity of the defense that Matt Wells wants to create there in Lubbock. I mean, Matt was very upfront. I remember talking to him at Big 12 Media Day last year that he wants to win with defense and offense. And you're seeing more complimentary ball being played in the Big 12, thanks in large part to Matt Rhule and the success he had at Baylor this year. So I think it's a good move for Texas Tech. I'm surprised Todd honestly just didn't get another coordinator job. I think he could have, but he wanted to get back on the field. He's still in the Big 12. And, that team needs more of an identity defensively, and I think he'll help to shape that.
Hey, Adam, thank you very much. Appreciate your time. Thanks for jumping on with us.
All right, thank you. Have a great weekend.
That's Adam Rittenberg. It's at ESPN Rittenberg, at ESPN Rittenberg, RittenBerg. And if you look up and down Adam's timeline on Twitter, I mean littered with transfer portal news, littered with coaching news, even coaching staff changes, constant. It's good stuff. Adam Rittenberg, we appreciate his time. When we come back, Days on Earth to wrap up this very gloomy, dark, stormy Friday. Huh?
That's moving in.
On ESPN Central Texas.
Texas Farm Bureau Insurance has protected fellow Texans with auto, home, health, and life insurance since 1952. With more than 260,000 square miles of land and 27 million people, that's a lot to cover. Whether you're wrangling cattle or wrangling kids, we're proud to protect Texans and all Texan ways of life.
Visit Texas Farm Bureau Insurance today at tfbinsurance.com to get insurance for Texans by Texans. Coverage and discounts are subject to qualifications and policy terms and may vary by situation.
Hey everyone, it's Jason Miller with Syntex Rehab in Belton and in Harker Heights. I want you to think about that one thing that pain is keeping you from doing. It could be in your back, your neck, or your knees. But what is it keeping you from doing? Is it getting up and down from the floor with your kids? Is it playing your favorite sport or even working out? It could be something as simple as driving your car comfortably or getting a good night's sleep. I know from personal experience that pain can keep you from doing a lot of the things that you love to do. So I'd like to make an offer to you. Simply visit my website at syntexrehab.com, and there for you, for free, are packets of information on how to relieve back pain, neck and shoulder pain, and knee pain. That's syntexrehab.com, or you can call our clinic at 254-630-1186, and we'd be happy to mail it to you. Again, go to syntexrehab.com and download the free packets. Feel free to chat with our patient care specialist directly online. You can get back to a life with less pain.
If you want to get in shape, get rid of weight or inches, you have to make a commitment to work out. End the excuses of not enough time, you're tired or too busy. There's a special place that will change your life, Waco Regional Tennis and Fitness on Lakeshore Drive in Waco. And right now, 3-month individual membership available for just $99. That's right, 3 months, $99. And they have a commitment back to you. Personal trainers Christy London and Randall Corley. State-of-the-art Cybex equipment, weights, spin bikes, clean and spacious locker rooms, each with a Whirlpool towel service, and a staff that knows your name when you walk through the front door. Waco Regional Tennis and Fitness, a place you can call home, place you can work out on your own or with group exercise classes, spin or spinnable, boot camp, yoga, bar class, and body shaping. A 3-month individual membership for just $99. It's time to make Waco Regional Tennis and Fitness your home away from home on Lakeshore Drive in Waco.
If you want the best wings and pizza in Central Texas with an energetic atmosphere, look no further than Wings Pizza and Things in Temple, a smoke-free family environment committed to serving fresh, made-to-order food. There are dozens of large-screen, high-definition TVs to watch everything in sports, including, of course, the NFL and college football. Wings Pizza and Things serves only top-quality, large wings with 16 flavors, including their new Rim Reaper. All sandwiches come with fries, tots, or side salad, and delicious New York-style pizza. Wings Pizza and Things, celebrating 13 years strong in the Temple Town Center on the Southwest Dodge and Loop in Temple.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Craig Smoke with an ESPN Central Texas Sports Center update. Save big bucks on storage sheds, lawn furniture, and more right now at Lone Star Structures in Lawton Temple. Learn more at LoneStarStructures.com. Number 4 Baylor men's basketball hits the road this weekend for a huge showdown with number 3 Kansas, and head coach Scott Drew talked about what he expects in this matchup.
Well, I think if you look across college basketball, it's first to 60 wins, it looks like nowadays, but both of us have two top 10 defenses, and I don't think points will be easy, and that's why the more you can get in transition, we've got to take care of the basketball. We can't have 20 turnovers and went up there, so hopefully we'll do a better job with that. But second chance points in transition will be huge for both teams.
We'll have pregame starting at 11:30 Saturday right here on ESPN Central Texas. Sunday, number 6 Lady Bears play host to Oklahoma State. We'll have cover starting at 12:30 Sunday right here on ESPN Central Texas.
Sports Center every 20 minutes, only on ESPN Central Texas.
All right. Days on Earth, and by the way, thanks to all of you that contacted me on Twitter, either just on my timeline or also a direct message, and the zip, text line brought to you by Bush's Chicken. I can't get to them all, but a lot of you, thank you for the feedback. All right, Days on Earth, and on this date, 49 BC, Julius Caesar defies the Roman Senate and crosses the Rubicon, starting the Civil War, which would lead to his appointment to Roman dictator for life. 1776, Common Sense, the pamphlet by Thomas Paine is published, advocating American independence. In 1901, oil discovered at Spindletop marking the start of the Texas oil boom in the Gusher Age. That's one of the things about East Texas.
Mm-hmm.
When you were there for a while, you drive around all those country roads. And, I mean, not just in Kilgore, Henderson, or man, they're, you see them every. A lot of time you don't see them working. But I remember the days they were all, nothing was moving. Now you see a lot of them. They're moving again. Yeah. 1928, Soviet Union. That doesn't mean there aren't oil like things like that around here either, but I'm just saying back then there was everywhere.
Not as many.
No. 1928, the Soviet Union orders exile of Leon Trotsky. First U.S. president to visit a foreign country in wartime. FDR leaves for Casablanca, Morocco in 1943. 1957, baseball commissioner Ford Frick rules Bing Crosby can keep his token stock in Detroit, even though he owns part of the Pittsburgh Pirates. I didn't know that.
I had no idea I seen that and I was like, that's odd.
Oh my goodness, on this date, 1982, the catch. Dwight Clark from Joe Montana with Ed Too Tall Jones right in the face of Montana to beat the Cowboys 28-27, go on to win against Cincinnati their first ever Super Bowl.
Where'd you watch that play at?
I was in Nacogdoches. That would have been right after I graduated in Nacogdoches, Texas. Where were you?
I wasn't born.
Were you 12?
I wasn't even born.
In 1986, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar scores his 34,000th career point in a win against the Pacers. NCAA in 1990 approves random drug testing for college football players. The trial of Lorena Bobbitt. Ooh, in 1994, who cut off her husband's pinky finger.
Yeah.
Digit.
Yeah.
Body part. 1996, Jimmy Johnson announces the new head coach of the Miami Dolphins. All right, born in this date, 1843. You do the birthdays.
All right. Frank James, outlaw, member of the James Younger Gang, born in Clay County, Missouri. He died in 1915. In 1917, Jerry Wexler, music producer who coined the term rhythm and blues, born in the Bronx. He died in 2008. In 1936, Stephen Ambrose, American historian, creator of Band of Brothers, born in Lovington, Illinois, died in 2002. In 1945, Rod Stewart, born in London, England. In 1947, Afeni Shakur, mother of Tupac. Black Panther member, born in Lumberton, North Carolina. She died in 2016. And in 1949, the great George Foreman, boxer from Marshall, was born on this day.
Yeah, and I remember doing a couple of interviews with him when he was, even his comeback, after when he was a big man and he came back, I'm like, what are you doing?
I didn't realize he was from Marshall until we moved out there. Yeah. I was going over to there.
There's a book out about George Foreman. It's on my desk. I need to read it. I have a guy who wrote it. He's trying to get me to discuss it. I need to do that. In 1862, Samuel Colt, American inventor and also industrialist, the Colt six-shot revolver, dies of gout at 47. 1917, Buffalo Bill Cody, Wild West hunter and showman, died at 70. In 1971, Gabrielle Coco Chanel, French fashion designer for Chanel. Isn't that a perfume as well?
Yeah, it's all that fancy
Died at
stuff.
87. David Bowie, English singer, songwriter, Major Tom. Didn't you play that song the other day?
Yeah, I guess it was his birthday.
Ziggy Stardust died of cancer at 69 just 3 years ago. And 2 years ago, Claire Hollingsworth, British war correspondent, and the first to report on the outbreak of World War II, died at 105. Thanks to a lot of people today, Michelle Vopel, Jeff Goodman, Grayson Grunhafer, Mike Fisher, Scott Drew, Kim Mulkey, Melissa Smith, and Adam Rittenberg. Be careful out there. It's pretty stormy. For Garrett Ross, I'm David Smoke. Paul's back on Monday. Thank you for listening whenever you do, however long it might be, including you, Paul, not Catalina. Good night.